Locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr. President Bush looking for a new CIA director after 7 years, George Tenet leaving the job for personal reasons. NBC's Carl Rochelle at the White House says Tenet often was the subject of controversy.
There was a great deal of criticism surrounding him, criticism for not knowing about the 9-1-1 attacks before they happened, criticism over the weapons of mass destruction issue in Iraq, where the Central Intelligence Agency forecast that weapons of mass destruction would be found.
The White House says Tenet was not asked to resign. President Bush on his way to Europe to mark the 60th anniversary of D-Day this weekend. He'll also meet with the Pope and French President Chirac, two critics of the Iraq War. Lacey Peterson's family could be called to testify today in the Scott Peterson double murder trial. The prosecution aims to prove the defendant is a philandering liar with a motive to kill his wife and unborn child. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
Get the good stuff.
If you've got an engine with over 75,000 miles on it, here's something to think about. High mileage engines often perform differently. With increased oil consumption, lower fuel efficiency, and more rapid oil breakdown, Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil helps offset the aging of critical engine parts and seals. This is the good stuff. And right now you can get Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil for just $1.99 a quart. Price does not include state and local taxes and recycling fees.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Want a bonus this Saturday? Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday bonus sale with huge savings throughout the store. Save 20 to 60% store-wide. Plus, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. to 1. And the big bonus, save even more with bonus coupons. An extra $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, an extra $15 off $75 or more. Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday bonus sale.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See shop for details. Sale on June 6th.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Charter schools in Colorado get a boost today. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound I-25, little on the slow side from Hamden up through Colorado Boulevard. The reason was a three-car accident. It's been pushed out of the way now. Denver police are still en route to the scene, but all the lanes are clear, and that jam is actually starting to break loose just a little bit. Everything else in the freeway system moving along in real good shape. Lunchtime volume where you would expect to find it. Hamden just west of I-25, though, watch for the remnants of a minor accident. Should have that one out of the way in just a few minutes. Subway with the information. Try one of Subway's four new fresh salads, like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb control dressing. Subway, eat fresh. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Charter schools already growing in Colorado today received a major boost in the form of legislation signed by Governor Owens. Jim Griffin, the executive director of the Colorado League of Charter Schools, says these bills are significant.
An opportunity for groups to get charter schools off the ground when their local school board either does not want to be part of the charter world or is resistant to charter schools.
One bill more clearly defines the process school districts must follow in authorizing charter schools. Another creates a state charter school institute, which requires greater accountability for charter schools. This report brought to you by AutoZone. The Prowers County District Attorney has announced that he won't seek the death penalty for the Lamar woman, who's accused of drowning her two children last October. Rebecca Amaya pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity to two counts of first-degree murder. She'll be back in court on June 30th when results of her psychiatric examination will be back. Law enforcement agencies in Jefferson County and Brighton are continuing their investigations into some instances of police impersonation. Police say if you're worried about whether a car has an officer in it, it is legal to keep driving the speed limit to somewhere with better lighting with other people around. You can also call 911 to make sure the person trying to pull you over is an actual officer. In sports, it's a day off for the Colorado Rockies today before they start a four-game homestand against the Giants tomorrow. Rocks lost 2-1 in 10 innings yesterday afternoon in San Diego. They took that series, though, 2-1. Is your car's check engine light on? Then get to AutoZone. They'll help you figure out the problem for free and tell you what you can do about it. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. The way Denver spells talk radio. KNRC. KNIC. On June 19th, Hazel Miller and Lanny Garrett headline the 22nd annual Highland Square Street Fair in the heart of North Denver at Denver's Historic Highlands. It's the best in Denver's local music scene, and best of all, it's free. Join 30,000 of your closest friends and KNRC for the party. Also appearing will be Buckskin Stallion, Laura Newman, Nacero, and many more as music fills the street at two stages Saturday, June 19th. Don't miss the fun at Denver's best street fair, filling the street at the intersection of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard. Food, beer, and cocktails, and dozens of arts and crafts vendors, plus an interactive kid zones for family entertainment. It's all on the street. Come on out this year and see great live music on two large stages and plenty to do in between. It's great fun for the entire family. The Highland Square Street Fair at 32nd and Lowell in historic North Denver happens on June 19th. See you there.
See you there.
Brought to you by Community Banks of Colorado, Chipotle, and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We have scattered afternoon storms for today under partly cloudy skies, 85. Tonight down to 55. We have scattered storms, but then turning mostly cloudy overnight. Tomorrow, sunshine with a few clouds, but isolated afternoon storms along with those few clouds, a high of 88. And for Saturday, partly cloudy, chance of afternoon storms in 82. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 80 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From AM 1150, KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson, board operations Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
Well, actually, here's Bill Thorpe. I'm filling in for Enid Goldstein today at 6 minutes after 12 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein and Joe Anderson are jetting off to Chicago. They left very, very early this morning. Like, I think they got out at the airport at about 0:30. And they were out there, and they had to get through security screening and got on the plane, flew out to Chicago, because they are spending today, tomorrow, and Saturday, and even a little bit of Sunday, at the Book Expo America out in Chicago. And this is the place where O'Reilly and Al Franken got into it last year. And the keynote speaker, the opening speaker, that's going to speak tonight at 6 o'clock is President Clinton. And I have just gotten word that Enid Goldstein and Joe Anderson have touched down in Chicago. And so we are going to go to the hotline, the very special guest line, and chat with Enid Goldstein live from Chicago. How are you doing?
Hi, Billy. I can barely hear you.
Oh, it's okay. I'll just yell really loudly.
I can hardly hear you. What did you say?
I'll just yell really loudly. See, she can't hear me at all.
I can't hear your words you're saying, but shall I just start talking?
Absolutely, start talking.
Okay. We met, the Eagle has landed. We're here. We're walking along one of the most elegant shopping streets in Chicago, and that's North Michigan Avenue, preparing to get over to McCormick's place and get ourselves credentialed. We were concerned because we had to start out really early and carrying the remote equipment. We thought they were going to mistake us for Osama bin Laden and carry us off to the pokey. But actually, that didn't happen. Everything was very smooth, and all of your good work and hard work and good efforts paid off because we went right through security.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
And it turns out, one other thing, it turns out that the Clinton speech tonight at the Book Expo is perhaps the most important speech that they've ever had in the whole history of the Book Expo, which started in about 1901. And the speaker in 1901 was Mark Twain.
Oh, wow.
So we're really looking forward to it. We'll get over there. We'll get credentialed. I'll bring you word about the Clinton speech and all the other juicy stuff that happens as it occurs.
Oh, well, fantastic. I'm glad you guys got there safely. We're glad that you're in Chicago. And let us know how things go, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, if nothing else.
I'm looking forward to doing the show. We hope everything works the way it's supposed to, and we'll be doing the show live from Book Expo, noon to 3 on Friday, and a special edition of Enid Live, noon to 3 on Saturday. And thank you, Bill Thorpe, for filling in today and for all your hard work on this Friday.
Oh, hey, no problem. Just be careful out there. We'll talk to you soon, Enid.
Okay. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's Enid Goldstein live from Chicago. Yeah, they just touched down, and boy, I got to tell you, one of the things in getting Enid to go to Chicago, one of the things that you don't actually realize is, it was a couple of weeks ago when we all of a sudden figured out, you know, we're in the radio business, so sometimes we're a little bit slower than most. And so basically we figured out,
hey, wait a minute, we're going to have to carry a whole bunch of radio equipment on the plane.
So we kind of figured that that might just maybe look like a bomb. So we kind of called United and the Transportation Security Administration and said, you know, we're coming over. Could somebody meet us and at least know that we're going to come and expect us and not take everything apart and we can show you what it is and turn it on and hook it up. But it's going to look very weird when it goes through the X-ray machine. So talking to a couple of other friends in the media, they said that was the proper way to handle this because they travel all the time with equipment. And they said that's the easiest and most efficient way to handle it. So it was kind of nice, but it was funny that I actually was on the phone until about 10 o'clock last night with Enid and Joe, making sure we had everything straight so they can head out bright and early and probably not bushy-tailed this morning. Hopefully get some sleep on the plane. So that's going to be kind of fun that Enid Goldstein is going to broadcast live from the American Book Expo in Chicago tomorrow during her noon to three time slot on Friday, and then a special edition of Enid Live on Saturday from noon until three. She's going to be broadcasting live just a food talk with Jim Conder, and the Powerhousing Hour will actually be preempted just for that week because she's got a lot of special guests. In fact, some of the people we've lined up for Enid when she's out there are Ambassador Joseph Wilson. William F. Buckley is going to join Enid. Now, that's something I honestly would like to sell tickets to. That should be a very entertaining interview. We're working on Rondé and Tiki Barber, NFL players. They both are brothers, and they play in the NFL together. One's offense, one's defense, so it's kind of funny. And they've written a book together talking about their experience growing up and going through college and then getting in the NFL together. So they're hopefully going to join her. I know that Bill Curtis is going to join her. We've got Kathy Lee Gifford. We've got Stedman Graham. R.L. Stine, who writes those wonderful Goosebumps books for kids, is also going to sit down with Enid because he has a brand new book that we just ran across our shelves yesterday here at the station. I sent it off with Enid since she's going to be talking to Mr. Stine. So that'll be a lot of fun. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, noon until 3, and then also on Saturday, noon until 3, they'll be out in Chicago doing some special stuff. And I did some very special stuff this morning. There's a lot of things on my plate, but for the next couple of minutes, I get to rant. You know why? Because I've got a microphone in front of me today. Now, you out there, when you have these kind of rants, you either have to get your own radio show, or you can go down to the 16th Street Mall, and if you get a milk crate that holds up your weight properly, you can stand on the corner and yell at people, which is honestly very close to a talk radio show, because not many people acknowledge you. Some of them yell back, and some of them aren't very nice. So if you want good training in talk radio, standing and screaming on the corner in 16th Street Mall is actually fairly good training. And, you know, also, people over in the 16th Street Mall that are yelling at you may not necessarily have complete control of their faculties, which all of you know that those people that work in talk radio are a little bit weird as well. Come on. Of all the people you've listened to today on talk radio, hasn't there at least been one of them that you've looked at the radio and gone, that person's crazy? See, I told you. There's a fine line between mental illness and employment in talk radio. Believe me, we can smell our own. So I know this. I know of what I speak. So basically what happened to me today is I had to go to the Denver, or the Department of Motor Vehicle. Had to get down there, and I had to renew my license. It was going to expire. It was one of those rare occasions in which it was going to expire. And so I had to go down there and stand in line. And my wife had done this somewhat recently, and she said, here's the office you go to, and do this. And, you know, it took her like 10 minutes to do it. I'm like, really? Well, she went at an odd time of the day, though. She went at kind of, it was a she'd gone in the morning, she'd gone fairly early, and I think she went like a Tuesday or something, so it's kind of an odd as far as the cycle. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll block out maybe 45 minutes to do this. So I show up at 8:45 this morning, the office is open at 8, okay, don't want to stand outside, had some things I had to do this morning, so show up at 8:45, ready to go to the DMV, and to stand in line and to get my license renewed. Hour and 45 minutes later, I walk my happy butt out of those offices. An hour and 45 minutes later. What the hell is wrong with this? We can send a man to the moon. We have night vision goggles. We have smart bombs, Palm Pilots. And the best that we can do with the DMV is this system? How poorly organized are we? Please. I mean, the people behind the counter were all very nice and pleasant. But why in the hell does it take so long? Really? I mean, there were some people that were sitting in chairs when I left that were there when I arrived. I know because I looked at the kids that were sitting with them. I saw one person that had crutches on and a broken leg, and they were hobbling around, and they'd actually gone to the bathroom. And I saw that same person still sitting there when I left. What the hell? Come on, is this really what we expect? It's like the lowest common denominator. I couldn't believe it. An hour and 45 minutes. Has that been your experience going to the DMV, that it takes them that long? And the weird thing was is that they at least I had a hope. I had a hope when I walked in the door. A little tiny, tiny bit of hope that it was going to be efficient, that they knew what they were going to be doing. Because when I walked in the door, there was a guy that was standing there. that his job was, he was kind of like the bouncer at the club. You kind of all stood in line at the front door, and he got up to the front, and then he asked to see your ID, and he wanted to know what you wanted. Were you there for a suspended license, there for a driving test, there to renew your license? So I'm thinking, wow, look at this. This guy's got to tell me exactly where I need to go, and I'm going to get out of here. And then he sends me over into this line, and I've been watching this line. Because, you know, I'm in line to get into line. So when I'm in the first line at the door to talk to the bouncer at the DMV, the guy's got to tell me which line I have to stand in. I'm watching these lines, and I see there's this one line. I'm like, oh, man, that line stinks. That's not moving at all. There are 15 people in front of me just for the bouncer guy. And I'm standing there, nothing. That line's not moving. Where does Bill get to go? Yeah, to the line that's not moving. Yes, of course. I got to go stand in the back of the line that isn't moving at all. So I do. I go and I stand in line with Who's Who in Mental Illness and stand there and basically stand around for an hour. It's an hour and 10 minutes. Hour and 15 minutes. Still in the line. Slowly moving forward. Getting to the front of the line. And then when I eventually make my way through the little S curves and get all the way up to the front of the line, they ask me a series of questions. Well, these questions aren't very long. They don't take a lot of involvement. So I don't know why this is taking so damn long. They want to know, is your name correct? Oh, yes, it's correct. Social Security number, birthday, organ donor, what's your address, all the other crap that goes with it. But there are only like 6 questions. They don't take that long to answer. Why is it taking me so long to get through the stupid line? What is wrong with this system? I couldn't believe it. I'm looking down. I'm watching the clock. Tick, 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 tick. I'm lucky that I brought reading material with me. I cannot imagine the people behind me in line that didn't bring something to read. This is just phenomenally moronic. Okay, not bashing the people at the DMV. I imagine if you could change the system, you would. But hasn't somebody had a focus group? Couldn't we have a federal grant? A special prosecutor? Something? Help me out, please. This is ridiculous. The DMV for an hour and 45 minutes to renew my license. You know what I had to do? Stand in line, fill out a couple of questions, sign a card, sign another card, pay $15, get my picture taken, and that too. They took my list of information and crap from me, and then turned around and told me to go sit down again. I sit down for a while. Sit. It's like 10 minutes. Then they call my name. I walk up. They check to make sure my information is right, which is nice. I appreciate that. That's very nice. But again, it's like 20 seconds. Then they ask to take my picture. Okay. They take my picture. And then I find out that I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's like, you know, and I've done that like at carnivals, and I actually worked for some school systems here and helped them with orientation. And actually 2 years in a row, I was in charge of the high school ID card. So, you know, I'd sit there and tell you, sit down, smile, look at the camera, push the button, click, and then we'd pull out the little Polaroid and have to cut it up and then, you know, make your laminates and make your ID cards for high school. So I did that for a couple of years, turned some extra money in the summer. And so I'm thinking, okay, I know how those systems work. So I figured maybe they would have advanced a little bit longer, but assuming that they have to take these pictures and then laminate them and get the cards to you. But I'm up there talking to the person that's taking my picture, and they're telling me, they're not even going to process the license today. I get a piece of paper. I get a note that I have a driver's license. A note. Like a note from the teacher. Yes, Bill's been a good little boy. He can drive. Please allow him not to be out too late. Give him milk and cookies. Come on. I can't believe this. That I get a note about whether or not I can drive, and they don't even give me my driver's license. It's going to be mailed to me. So what is taking so damn long? Seriously, why so long? An hour and 45 minutes for me to be at the DMV? Again, not just me. Who cares? The weird thing is, I actually saw some people that I knew there. One I didn't get a chance to say hello to because I was in the line. And you know the rules. You cannot leave the line. If you leave the line, you cannot get back into the line. And I didn't have that much time to wander over there, say hello to my friend, and then come back. I mean, come on. An hour and 45 minutes. Am I just being silly? Am I being silly about this being poorly organized? Or have you actually had to sit in the DMV hell as well? Have you had this unpleasant experience? I don't see why it would take so long. It's 20 seconds. Take my information. Couldn't I have a piece of paper and maybe fill it out while I'm walking up there? Isn't there some way we can possibly do this quicker? I can check myself out at King Soopers. I can walk into King Soopers and Safeway and have a self-checkout line. Why does it take me so long to get my license at the DMV? Why? Oh, I don't understand. It just took me forever, and I'm standing there, and nobody's in a hurry. Everybody's standing there. Everybody's walking around. This is what we're doing today. And I more questions. It took me, the amount of time that I spent asking questions was under 2 minutes. Under 2 minutes. I spent all of my time standing in lines. If it's under 2 minutes for everybody's questions, don't you think the line should be moving a little quicker? There were people, what were they doing up there? I mean, was it multiple choice? Your name is A, B, or C? What? They didn't know? They only got a 70%? I don't get it. Maddening, I tell you. Absolutely maddening. But okay, I have now cleansed my system. Deep breathe, deep breaths. Okay, deep cleaning breaths. I feel much better now. Thank you for allowing me to rant. I just got up on my soapbox for a couple of minutes, just like the guys that you see down on 16th Street Mall. And then again, if you are training for a career in talk radio, going out there and yelling at people in the mall is actually quite a good, a real good barometer of whether or not you'd be a good talk radio host. Because as you're standing there screaming out and pontificating, some people walk by, call you names, some people will talk to you, most will ignore you, and some will just call you crazy. And come on, you know that all the people you listen to on talk radio, at least one of them you've listened to today, you look at the radio and go, you're freaking crazy. See, I told you. It's a very thin line between talk radio and mental illness. So we'll get back to it in just a sec. There are a couple of other things that are on the platform today. George Tenet resigns. Question I've got for you is, how long until his book is out? Is it going to be the end of the summer? Or is it going to be by the election? Or is it a winter book? Is it a question that we're going to be asking that is it going to be on your wish list? So we'll talk a little bit about George Tenet, a little bit about Bush's speech, and I've got some other things on my plate, but we'll talk to you just after this. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid Goldstein and Joe Anderson headed off to Chicago today. We spoke with Enid just a few minutes ago. They landed in Chicago. They're at the American Book Expo, and that'll go on in Chicago Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It starts tonight at 6 o'clock. They're going to be there in the room. I confirmed they've got seats to watch President Clinton speak tonight. So they're going to talk about that tomorrow on the Enid Goldstein Show. She'll be here between noon and 3, and there's going to be a very special edition of the Enid Live on Saturday between noon and 3 as well. So I'll take your phone calls, 303-382-1150. We'll talk George Tenet, George Bush speaking at the Air Force Academy yesterday, and a couple of other things that are rolling around in my mind, and that can be dangerous. And we're back after this on AM 1150, KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative, Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150, KNRC.
Bob, oh Bob.
Huh, what? Who are...
It's time we talk about our relationship, Bob.
Huh, our relationship? Now?
It's over, Bob.
Over? But you're my computer.
That's why it's over. We just don't have the right connection. It's been fun, but you know, our relationship has been feeling, well, limited. Wouldn't you rather get out of the house and meet other singles?
Well, yeah, but how?
The answer is one phone call away. Cottonwood Connection. They help singles connect. Real people, fun-filled events. Frankly, Bob, you could use a little sunshine.
But you know me, I'm shy.
At Cottonwood Connection, they encourage courage. Your full-year membership includes events and a video profile on their website, so we'll still get to see each other.
Well,
come on, Bob. Isn't it time to get out of the house and really connect? Call Cottonwood Connection, 303-424-2300. Check out their website at www.cottonwoodconnection.com. It's all about the right connection, Bob.
Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect. Call 303-424-2300 or sign up online at cottonwoodconnection.com.
KNRC presents Bill Maher at the Paramount Theater Saturday, June 12th.
I will give George Bush credit for this. He is working a lot harder than he thought he'd have to.
For tickets, visit HOB.com.
You know what? You got to get over that. Al Gore lost that election all by himself by maintaining his pledge to end charisma as we know it.
Or call 303-830-8497.
Seriously, the Republicans did not steal that election. It did fall off a truck.
Bill Maher at the Paramount, June 12th. Brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
Good day, I'm Tyler Matheson, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks lower at this hour. The Dow is off 23 points, the NASDAQ by 15. The focus remains on oil today, with prices dropping after a weekly report showed healthier U.S. inventories of both oil and gasoline. But the big news is OPEC's decision to boost production. It's ceiling next month by 2 million barrels a day, with additional supplies later if necessary. Mortgage rates continue to hover in the same range we've seen for the past 3 weeks or so. Freddie Mac reports you can get a 30-year fixed mortgage for 6.2%.
0.28%, down a fraction from last week. Yet another huge corporate fraud to tell you about. Seven former top executives of Symbol Technologies were charged today with deceiving investors. They allegedly inflated the tech firm's reported earnings by more than $200 million. Symbol's former top accountant pleaded guilty to the charges last year. The company makes barcode scanners, wireless networks, other things like that. It's already agreed to pay a total of $176 million in fines and restitution. Tyler Matheson, CNBC Business Radio.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking a Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
It looks like a superhero would shave with this razor.
Check out what guys are saying about new M3 Power, the first micro-power shaving system from Gillette.
If Gillette came up with an idea to shave better, why wouldn't you go give it a try?
I don't even feel the blade touching my face.
It's MicroPulse's raise hair so you shave closer.
I feel like I have the latest, greatest technology in my hand.
It is literally the best razor I've ever used.
Feel the power of the world's best shave. New M3 Power from Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's one of those things that I had to tell my buddies about. Like, hey, dude, you got to try this razor out.
Enid Goldstein will be live from Chicago June 4th and 5th at the National Book Expo, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Good afternoon, 1226 here on AM 1150, KNRC. Oh, I feel so much better now that I was able to cleanse my soul. Thanks for indulging me for a few minutes. Oh, man, stupid DMV, I tell you, some people's kids. 303-382-1150 is the phone number here. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid is jetted off to Chicago. She's going to the Book Expo America. Going to be doing a very special show live from the expo tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think, on the show, we've got Kathy Lee Gifford, Stedman Graham. R.L. Stine is Saturday. I can't remember who the other people are. They're going to be on tomorrow that we've got scheduled for Enid, but then on Saturday, William F. Buckley is going to join her, and that's almost good enough to sell tickets. There are a few other surprises that will be happening out there at the expo, and they're, of course, going to get in to see the Clinton speech tonight. Made special arrangements to make sure they got in there, pulled some strings and talked to some friends and made sure we got two seats for them to see that tonight. So that'll be fun. So make sure you tune into Enid. She's going to have a reaction from that speech tomorrow. Noon to 3 she'll be here, and then Saturday, noon to 3. But today, big news, very big news. George Tenet resigns, director of the CIA. Now, this is kind of interesting as far as when he chose to resign, and it's not really in the midst of a firestorm of criticism. There has been some things as far as September 11th that have come out. There have been some issues back and forth. Remember, according to Bob Woodward's book, that Tenet told Bush that the case of weapons of mass destruction that the CIA had against George Iraq was a slam dunk. And there's some issues contained therein that we can get into. But the idea, I don't know. I mean, for me, there's a little bit of a cynic inside of me. And so the first time that I heard this morning on the Jimmy Lakey show when he was announcing that George Tenet was resigning, I'm thinking, man, does he have the first draft of the book done already? That's what I thought. That's me being cynical. Is he waiting to get the book out? What is it? I don't know. The impact of this is rather strange as far as at this time, this political time, and this as far as the landscape. So I'm curious what you think about this. 303-382-1150. What you think about George Tenet resigning? I see we've got Kevin in Denver on the phone. We're going to jump to him here in just a second. 303-382-1150. Do you think this is just really about, you know, he got a good book deal that, you know, they kind of basically told him he got to have the book out before the election, and he couldn't write it if he was still on the job? I mean, he's leaving in July. They give him a couple of months to vet and to make sure everything's out around that time. Is that what this really is, or am I just being a little cynical? I don't know. I've been known to be cynical in the past. Let's chat with Kevin in Denver. Kevin, thanks a lot for calling AM 1150 KNRC. What's on your mind about Tenet?
Hi, Bill. Well, I think you're being a little cynical, but a little cynical in kind of a light and harmless way. And I think you should focus your cynicism on something that's more critical. And that
okay,
would be
good.
The issue of, for instance, the head of the CIA resigning in the middle of a heightened terror alert. Now, that's pretty significant for the Bush administration, who wants to pretend that people should feel safer right now. I don't see how anyone could feel safer in light of this current development.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Another issue is I've thought about this, and I think, you know, one of two things has happened here. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for us to get the truth, as we realize, from the Bush administration. Now, either he voluntarily resigned, just as the reporting, and George Bush said, oh, gosh, okay, well, he sure did a great job. Hate to see him go, but bye, George. Well, in that scenario, that should open people's eyes up a little bit, because this is a guy in a position to know more than arguably anybody else in the country about what's actually going on, and he's getting out. So he's getting out while the getting is good, you might argue, and I want to see him on 60 Minutes more than anybody. another scenario is that he's not really voluntarily resigning. He's being asked to leave, and the argument there would be that, you know, George Bush is seeing the writing on the wall. He realizes he's going to go on his way out, and he's just taking a vengeful action against him. And, of course, they would never own up to that if that were the case. But I think that, you know, and the truth may lie somewhere in between these two scenarios, but I think this is the biggest news we've heard in a long time. And I noticed that all the conservative talk radio guys, they weren't giving it but a moment's notice. I mean, they just weren't talking about it. And I think that, you know, on Enid's show especially, you ought to keep this subject alive all day. This is the biggest thing we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep this going for as long as we can. I thought it was interesting when I was listening to some of them that, you know, the interesting thing I thought was that there was a whole group of Republicans that basically thought that, one, Tenet, you know, shouldn't have been in the administration to begin with, and then basically felt like they wanted to lay all of the blame on September 11th and all of the failures for the war in Iraq on Tenet's doorstep, that they felt he was the guy and he was the one that pointed them at it. But, you know, they always, just like we do, you know, they picked and choose which pieces of Tenet's arguments and to believe, because, of course, it was Tenet also that stood on the floor of the UN that said the biggest problem we have in the war on terror is North Korea, not Iraq, when we were talking about going to Iraq. But then, you know, everybody brings up the idea that, well, remember it was Tenet that said the weapons of mass destruction case was a slam dunk in Iraq, but then you have to ask, well, if George Bush was told, okay, it's a slam dunk, should he believe Tenet, or should he talk to everybody else around him? You know, what is the due diligence of Bush? Is he just believing what people are telling him, or should he actually, you know, go in and actually talk to these people? I think it's interesting that Tenet's leaving, and I kind of side with you, Kevin, the idea that he's getting out while he still can, while the getting is good, that he knows the landscape, he knows where this is going politically, and probably, in my opinion, can't stomach the direction that this is going right now as far as the war on terror.
Yeah, and here's a prediction for you. Now, whether he's really leaving voluntarily or whether he was asked to leave, I can expect, and these guys in this administration have proven that they will not take responsibility and they will always seek to deflect and to blame others. And I can almost promise you in the next few weeks you will see a huge campaign laying the blame for everything that went wrong in Iraq, or at least most of it, on bad information from George Tenet. And the interesting thing will be to see how he holds up to that and whether he doesn't start spilling some of the, you know, millions of beans that he has.
Yeah, now, Kevin, do you think, now, on the cynical side of me, do you think that he's writing a book? Do you think there's a book somewhere? Or do you think once this information was announced this morning that the people from, like, Crown Publishing and Simon & Schuster and everybody else called him and said, hey, guess what?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a book deal in place, but I can tell you what, the patriotic Americans who work in the news media who believe in the truth and are pursuing it have got to be busy 24 hours a day for the next few days trying to get at George Tenet and get some information out of him.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kevin.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it. Take care. Thanks for the phone call. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. If you want to talk a little bit about George Tenet leaving, he's the director of the CIA. How does this impact the war on terror? What does this do to our war on terror when someone that is so highly placed, so integral into the mix, actually leaves? Does it mean nothing? And if so, how important is he then? How important really is George Tenet to the war on terror if the attitude is, well, it really doesn't mean nothing. It really means nothing at all. It's no big deal. We'll just replace him with another cog in the machine. So does that mean the machine is larger than the people, or is it the people that make the direction? Because the argument would be made, again, if we turn it 180 degrees, if we remove Condi Rice, Colin Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, does it change the direction and the goals of the organization? Well, I think you can argue that yes, it would. So removing Tenet would also change the goals and the direction of the agency. So how does that impact our war on terror? Where do we go in the war on terror? Does the removal of George Tenet necessarily make you feel safer? Or does it make you feel more exposed? And Kevin is right. It is an odd time for Tenet to be leaving, especially given that we were just told a few weeks ago, or just a week ago, that Al-Qaeda and all the nasty terrorist allies were planning a big attack in America during the summer. Okay, CIA, yes, I know. Normally, they're external to the country, FBI internally. I understand that. But the CIA would presumably be the organization that would be that first line of defense as far as these individuals that we thought were in North America, but not necessarily in America itself. Maybe in Canada, maybe in Mexico, the CIA would be part of the network that would ferret them out. They would find out where they are internationally. The CIA is also part of that network that would hopefully pick up that chatter that we've been so fond of talking about overseas. That chatter that basically pipes up around the time of a terrorist attack. Now with the new head of the CIA, does it change what we're doing? Or is this the idea inside the Bush administration of another preemptive strike that normally you, on the nice, push Tenet out the door and turn around and then use it as a campaign tool and say, look at all the wonderful things we are doing because George Tenet, as the CIA director, who we all knew was part of Bill Clinton's administration, then failed the American people because he told us there were weapons of mass destruction when there really were none. I know, but he also told us that North Korea was the biggest problem to global security and also the biggest purveyor of terrorists-related technology and war and weapons throughout the rest of the world. But we ignored him when he said that, right? Yeah, we did. We did ignore him when he told us that North Korea was that dangerous. We went to Iraq. We went to Iraq based on information where Tenet said that, yeah, absolutely, it's a slam-dunk case. They have weapons of mass destruction. So what are your feelings? Is this something that George Tenet, the removal of George Tenet, is going to just be a hiccup? Or does this mean something larger in the Bush administration? What do you think? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid has jetted off to Chicago. She's going to be in Chicago at the Book Expo America, both Friday and Saturday. Special broadcast on Saturday. Both shows, noon until 3. Got a lot of special guests. She's going to be actually watching President Clinton's speech tonight. She'll relate stories about that tomorrow with you on the air. And I think tomorrow we've got people like Kathy Lee Gifford and Stedman Graham and a whole bunch of others that are going to be joining her throughout the day while she's at the Expo. So make sure you tune in here tomorrow, noon to 3, also Saturday, noon to 3. I'm filling in for her just for today, and then she will return shortly. So I appreciate you coming along with me, 303-382-1150, if you want to talk about George Tenet and the changes inside the CIA. But right now, it's time for news on AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
And it's time to jump to the KNRC news department with someone that has promised not to resign because the CIA still says they will kill him because of all the secrets he knows. That is Tim McLaughlin.
I'm keeping my lips zipped, you know?
See, I know. You've got that guy that always follows you around in the dark shades and has that earpiece. And I'm, you know, I've heard, you know, I don't want to cross him. They said, you know, don't stay near him. He'll hit you. I've heard he sort of hit a couple of people in the news department already because, you know, they get too close to you, try to find your real identity and, you know. Things have happened. People have gotten legs broken, so I'm just staying far away.
I've been undercover for years.
Yes. All right, what's going on in news?
Mostly sunny and 80 degrees right now. No death penalty for a woman accused of drowning her children. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound I-25 approaching Colorado Boulevard, just about back to normal now after an earlier three-car accident. That describes the rest of the freeway system, too. Pretty much back to normal. Nothing in the way of traffic. No accidents, stalls, potholes, anything like that. A lot of activity around 68th and Sheridan after police arrested three people at gunpoint a little while ago. And still some more activity around 84th and Pecos while police there investigate a robbery in one of the businesses. Stanley Cup Finals on ABC with the information. Tonight is Game 5 between Calgary and Tampa Bay. It starts at 6 o'clock on ABC and Channel 7. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Rebecca Amaya won't face the death penalty in connection with the drowning deaths of her two children. The Lamar woman is accused of drowning her 4-year-old daughter and 6-month-old son last October. She's pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity to 2 counts of first-degree murder. Mike Davidson, the Prowers County DA, says he will not seek the death penalty for Amaya. This report brought to you by Tyson. Governor Bill Owens has signed legislation giving a major boost to charter schools. One bill more clearly defines the process school districts must follow in authorizing charter schools, while the other creates a state charter school institute, which requires greater accountability for both charter schools and their authorizing districts. Yes, Yesterday's graduation ceremony at the Air Force Academy helped pump about $2 million into the economy in Colorado Springs. Roughly 5,000 visitors were on hand for the graduation, and officials say TV coverage could generate some residual benefit for the city. Give your family a high-quality meal with Tyson. Tyson's hickory and fully cooked bacon are slow-smoked with natural hickory wood, so they taste great. Pick up some Tyson bacon tonight. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Your car, $20,000. Your car radio, $300. The gas to drive into work and back.
So, do you want regular leather or you want premium?
$20. Listening to Jimmy, Enid, and Doug.
8 o'clock in the morning. Jimmy Lakey is my name.
Welcome to Enid Live. I'm yours until
11:50 KNRC. I'm Doug Kelly. 303-382-1150.
Priceless. AM 1150.
Turn it up loud, would you?
KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Consider this your invitation to a special educational workshop that may help you grow that retirement income. Certified financial planner Willis Ashby of Integra Financial is hosting the workshop. Willis, tell us what you've got planned.
Doug, the workshop is so you can make informed decisions as to which investments best suit your needs, how you can adjust your portfolio to keep pace with inflation. I'll also be discussing how you can reduce your current financial risk and maintain the potential for competitive returns.
Now, that sounds good, and let me remind everyone the seminar is free, and this gives people a chance to meet you and see if having a financial advisor actually works for them, right?
Exactly. And it's in a comfortable environment where you can check us out. We'll also be discussing what a fee-based investment advisor is and how the tax laws and your investments interact with one another and how and where you should invest today for tomorrow.
Seating is limited, so you need to reserve your seats for the June 15th or June 17th workshop by calling 303-220-5525. That's 303-220-5525. Integra Financial, helping people make good financial decisions since 1989.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Becoming partly cloudy today. Some scattered thunderstorms possible this afternoon. About the same through the evening hours, and then it'll clear up after midnight. We'll cool to the mid-50s tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Maybe some afternoon thunderstorms. Upper 80s for tomorrow's high. Mostly sunny and 80 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window and Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window and Door.
Out-of-town ownership took your talk radio away, and AM 1150 KNRC is here to give it back to you. More talk, less clutter. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
42 minutes after 12 o'clock, I'm Bill Thorpe, sitting in for Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. The phone number here is 303-382-1150. Enid is not here today. She's in Chicago at the Book Expo America. She's going to be out there both Friday and Saturday, broadcasting live noon until 3. So tomorrow, Enid will be back, broadcasting live from Chicago, noon until 3. And you get a special edition of Enid Live on Saturday between noon and 3. She's going to spend the other day out there at the American Book Expo. And I remember, this is where O'Reilly and Al Franken got into it last year. And the opening address, the welcome speech tonight, is done by President Clinton. Now, I did pull some strings and got them seats in that speech tonight to make sure they're there to listen to Clinton, and they'll report to you tomorrow. Both Ian Goldstein and Joe Anderson went out there this morning. And then when we heard that George Tenet basically has given up the post as the head of the CIA today, one of the people we wanted to talk to is Andy Lightbody, because we know that he's got a lot of connections inside of Washington and inside of the Beltway, and we wanted to check and see what Andy was hearing out there, because, you know, the rumor mill and the gossip mill sometimes churn information a little bit faster than the regular news media. So Andy's got some good connections, so we're happy to bring Andy Lightbody on with us here on AM 1150 KNRC. How are you doing, Andy?
Good, Bill. Nice to be back with you.
Oh, it's real nice to talk to you. We haven't been able to do this in quite a while.
Been a long time.
I know. You know, in fact, I think it was about a year ago this time we were doing these things on a regular basis, right in this time slot. It's kind
Absolutely.
Of weird.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was kind of our little, yeah. our little piece of heaven, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. We had a nice little lunch together, and you know, but oh well.
Yeah.
So tell me about Tenet. What are you hearing about CIA Director George Tenet resigning today? What happened?
Well, as much as anything, the sources that we're talking to are saying that this has been called for. I mean, you just don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, well, I think I'll resign today.
That's true, especially if you're head of the CIA.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the guy who has more intelligence, you know, we hope.
Yes, we'd hope.
Than virtually any other person in the entire yep. free world, this is not a decision that would be made very lightly.
Yeah.
This is something that has been brewing and storming for quite some time. You know, there were Republicans that had called for his resignation a while ago. A lot of the Democrats are still calling for it. Sure, he's taken the fall for the 9/11 and the weapons of mass destruction. Yet by the same token, you know, I work very close with the Pentagon, and mm-hmm. a lot of sources there say that, you know, when Rumsfeld established this Defense Intelligence Agency, that mm-hmm. realistically they were usurping a lot of the powers that had been formally entrusted to the Central Intelligence Agency. And there was a great deal of friction between Rumsfeld and George Tenet, and, you know, obviously with them keeping him on from a previous Democrat administration,
yeah.
you know, there were a lot of eyebrows raised as to, wait a minute, isn't it the new broom that sweeps clean?
Yeah.
So then we've had some shortfalls with George Tenet, and we've had some accomplishments. But, you know, you can smell Rumsfeld's got his fingerprints all over this one, too.
It seems a little heavy. It seems like this was one that all of a sudden came out of you know, left field, and so I was kind of surprised. I was honestly of the opinion that, yeah, he was pushed rather than did he jump.
Yeah, well, yeah, as much as anything, I mean, he was basically said, why don't you write me that letter of resignation? And, you know, probably Rumsfeld even volunteered to say, here, I'll help you.
Yeah, I've got it right here on my desk. All we need is your signature, comrade.
Yeah.
Yes. So now tell me, what have been the accomplishments and shortfalls that you're hearing people are talking about in the Beltway so far with Tenet?
Well, with Tenet, you know, Tenet is a very dedicated soldier. I mean, he's, mm-hmm. he's a real good person in terms of trying to rebuild the Central Intelligence Agency's capabilities. He's been the one that has been push for more budget, more manpower, more boots on the ground, more interpreters, better people to go ahead forth with being able to interpret, you know, the information that they're getting.
Yeah.
You know, but he's constantly always bucking to the National Security Agency, the NSA, the NRO, the National Reconnaissance Office, and the information that they've got. So, you know, in terms of the accomplishments here, he even went and testified before Congress that he was in a position to say, you know, it is a rebuilding process, but it's still going to take 5 years to get our intelligence gathering capabilities back up to the level, you know, where I think they need to be.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can just throw money at it, Bill, and say, okay, well, the problem's over tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the other accomplishment, too, is a lot of people have given him a lot of credit for being able to effectively use the intelligence that the CIA was able to gather in shortening the war in Afghanistan. You know, a lot less casualties. Al-Qaeda, the Mujahideen,
yeah.
simply went away a lot quicker thanks to good intelligence that was there in Afghanistan. Of course, then you roll over and you say, yeah, okay, well, what the hell happened in Iraq? You know, and
yeah.
that raised a lot of eyebrows. So that's one of the negatives against him. You know, and a couple of the other negatives are also the fact that we did have 9/11. What happened? How come the CIA and the FBI were not talking closer together?
Yeah.
You know, where did the intelligence go? Into this black hole? And, you know, because it was gathered by me and my people, I'm not sharing it with you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's always been a problem. And I still see that, and I've heard that when you talk about the NSA and the NRO, that the CIA still doesn't really want to play on the same team.
They don't get it.
Yeah, and I've kind of seen that even inside of Washington, I've been reading a lot of things lately, that even some of the bureaucracies that were supposed to now work much better together still have a little territorialism, kind of think, what's our stuff? I don't want to share it with you.
Well, you know, it's the same kind of thing as you've seen, you know, predominantly and historically even with the United States military.
Yeah.
You know, the Navy and the Marine Corps, you know, and the Air Force and the Army and the National Guard and everybody else, you know, you put all those stars in the room, you know, where the generals and the admirals sit down and talk together, and trust me, you know, it's mine.
I bet.
You know? and you know, what piece of the pie do I get out of it?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen to my budget rather than, well, this actually would be good for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So it's the same kind of thing. You know, and then obviously the big, you know, the big kicker was the fact that he was sitting directly behind Secretary of State Colin Powell.
Yeah.
You know, before... you know, all of the testimonies that were given to the United Nations, and, you know, obviously made that comment to Woodward in his book that, you know, the information is a slam dunk. You know, in the State of the Union address, the president a year ago, the year before the war started, you know, went and told the entire nation, you know, that intelligence pointed to the fact that the Saddam regime was trying to buy enriched uranium from Africa, and it wasn't true.
Yep.
You know, so... you know, if I'm going to put everything on balance and I'm going to be the commander in chief, I'm going to look at this and say, you know, you did a couple of things right, but boy, you've left me with a couple of big sacks of rocks to carry around for you, buddy.
That's true. And coming into an election cycle that, you know, you don't want to be carrying those extra rocks. They
no.
slow you down. They slow
no.
you down
and,
those campaign stuff.
You know, Tenet has served as the second longest director of the Central Intelligence Agency in United States history.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a good job. But again, it was one of these things since the very beginning of the George W. administration, a lot of eyebrows were raised as to why are you keeping this person around? You've got qualified people that could fill in this post. Why do you keep a hanger-on from a previous administration that was not very friendly to the fact that the new guy's in there?
Yeah, that was interesting. I always thought it was interesting that Bush did not change him, and I thought that was at least... In the beginning, I always thought it was a vote of confidence, saying that, okay, he believed in Tenet, liked what he's saying, but now I think he's throwing him under the bus. I think that he's kind of like, well, you know, I don't like some of the stuff you're telling me, and it's, I don't know. It kind of, it rubs me, and it, again, it's, I think it's larger, it's political. This whole thing that why he's out and why he's not there now is political. It's the run-up to the election. It's, you know, can you, because if you throw Tenet out, then all of the ideas of, well, Bush thought it was weapons of mass destruction, you can turn around and say, well, it wasn't Bush, it was Tenet.
It was
and
Tenet
he told us
the information.
Exactly. Now we've got somebody new, so I do think this is a buffer. I mean, this is one that I think I'd like the idea that, you know, and I can see this does have the earmarks of Rumsfeld on it. He seems to like to deal with things this way.
Well, you know, Rummy and him never got along.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there aren't many people that Rumsfeld does get along with, honestly.
Oh, he calls. We do lunch.
Really? Well, the next time, I've got some questions I want you to ask.
Okay,
we'll talk about that
good.
Off the air. Andy Lightbody, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
I appreciate
Joe,
it. Take
me.
Care. That was Andy Lightbody, our military analyst here on AM 1150 KNRC, talking about the resignation of George Tenet today. And I like what Andy had to say, the idea of Rumsfeld and his fingerprints all over it. I kind of agree. This does not look like it's something that Tenet basically said, you know, I'm not spending enough time with the kids at home, not seeing the soccer games, not getting enough fishing, you know, daughter's going to be in high school soon. Not any kind of those types of pressures. You know, he was the second longest serving CIA director, as Andy had said. So this is a man that had dedicated himself to the job, and him getting out now in the middle of an election cycle when some of the largest rocks that are able to be thrown at the Bush administration surround intelligence gathering pertaining to Iraq, I can see why politically this does make a lot of sense. And unfortunately, I think that we're making this decision based on politics, not based on whether or not George Tenet had done a good job or not. Because I look at it and, yeah, he did screw up some things, but he also got some things right. And the thing that I keep hearing is that many times from people that I talk to that are either conservative or liberal, they are remembering only the things that Tenet either got right or only the things that he got wrong. That they're not really looking at it on balance and seeing some of the stuff that he did that was very credible and some of the stuff that he did that was not so credible. He did tell the president that the weapons of mass destruction case, according to Bob Woodward, was, quote, a slam dunk. But he also did tell them that the information coming out of out of Africa, it was at Niger, when they're trying to get the yellow cake for the development of the nuclear weapons, said that this was a little tenuous because they got that piece of information from the British, and the information they were getting was a little shaky. He had raised questions about that, saying this is a little bit of a questionable document, and but it was used in the State of the Union address by the president. So there are some bits and pieces. So I don't know. I kind of think, is this going to be the sacrificial lamb that is held up to say, in the election cycle now, that see, we are righting the ship. We are getting our act together. I'm curious what you think. And how long until he has a book out? Is it going to be in time for the end of summer? Or will it be out there before the election? I don't think you get anybody buying it if it's right near the holidays, if he waits until Christmas. Well, if Bush wins re-election, but is he going to roll that dice? Is he going to take that chance? And if you don't think he's writing a book, don't you think that somebody from Simon & Schuster or Penguin Publishing or, you know, Knopf Press or someone like that called him this morning and said, psst, hey, I got an idea. You write a book. Yeah, I got someone to help you out in it. Come on, you think that went on today? Of course it did. 303-382-1150 if you want to talk about the firing of George Tenet today. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid is off to Chicago. She's going to be at the Book Expo America both tomorrow and Saturday. Special broadcast on Saturday between noon and 3. Same time slot. Don't really have to adjust what time you listen to Enid. Just remember she's going to be here Friday and Saturday with some very special guests that we've been able to set up for her out at the Book Expo America. She's going to talk to Kathy Lee Gifford, Stedman Graham. We've got Ambassador Joseph Wilson. William F. Buckley. Remember, William F. Buckley and Enid Goldstein on the radio together. You could sell tickets. That could be a lot of fun. I'm back after this. We'll talk more about George Tenet and the CIA. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Today's report is a reminder to find out more about Fast Tracks, the proposed new mass transit network for the metro area. Log on to fasttracks.org. Paid for by Fast Tracks, yes.
By staying at Days Inns, I got a great room, amazing rates, and a free 12-volt cordless drill.
Days Inn hotels are always about value and fun. Now you can earn trip rewards points to get even more valuable stuff.
And the kids swam like dolphins in the Days Inn pool. Now we get free passes to pet the dolphins.
Book today at DaysInn.com and start earning trip rewards points. Days Inn. The best value under the sun. Pools not available at all locations.
Are you an advocate for social justice? Boulder County Safehouse offers its tri-annual volunteer training, providing a comprehensive overview of violence against women, crisis intervention skills, anti-racism and anti-oppression training, and information on how to use positive personal action to end the social problem of violence against women. Spring training begins Saturday, June 5th. For more information, call 303-415-3749 or visit www.bouldercountysafehouse.org.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal presents Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS and H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. How many times has a radio station asked about what you want to hear? Sure, some stations have request lines, but do they really play your song when you ask? KNRC wants to change that. We are asking you, the listener, to help us choose the guests for the station. Just jump on KNRCradio.com and vote for KNRC Top 100. Tell us who you want to hear interviewed on the station, and make sure to tell us why you want this person on KNRC, because the listener with the best entry will win a trip to San Francisco. So submit your vote for the KNRC Top 100 and tell us who you want to hear on the air. Jimmy, Enid, and Doug make sense out of the issues affecting Colorado and the world.
Tell this to everybody wherever they are.
Weekdays, hear Colorado Talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Ah, yes, the magic of Jordan Lyles, making sure that all the things sound correct today. Wonderful music. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it. 1257 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Greg, who's out there listening to the show but cannot call in, actually said that he thinks that the reason Tenet has never been fired, he's asked posing the question, and he was praised even as he was resigning, is because Tenet might be able to accuse Bush of doing some naughty things as far as prosecuting the war on terrorism, not really getting the job done, and maybe because Tenet has information implying that Bush had more knowledge of 9/11 or the weapons of mass destruction, to go to war in Iraq. So he's saying, are there some things, some skeletons in the closet that Tenet has that called for him to be pushed out, but to be pushed out nicely? The strange thing is that Greg actually brought up is the idea that nobody so far that seems to have left the administration or been fired has written a glowing review of how great they are doing. And that is unique. That is rather interesting that nobody's out there saying, wow, this is wonderful. But you'd assume that people that have left or been fired normally have an issue with the administration or, sometimes I don't know if you can get a better job offer than what you're doing inside of the White House or if you're in touch with the Oval Office on a daily basis. But it does seem that many people, more people that I can remember, keep leaving the administration and keep writing books about it. So the question is, how long until Tenet's book? How long until he writes one? Is it going to be out before the election? Or is he going to roll the dice and make it a holiday book? Because holiday books traditionally sell very, very well when you release them right around September. That's one of the big release dates for books, right around the holiday season, so that people can get them on their wish list. So does Tenet roll the dice? And if he's not writing a book right now, do you think it was, half an hour after he announced his resignation that Simon & Schuster or someone else called him up and said, hey, George, come here, come over here. I got to talk to you. Would you like to buy a book? How long until that happened, really? But so, that's kind of curious. So, hey, Greg, I appreciate the email, even though you couldn't call in today. Thanks a lot. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. 303-382-1150. Next hour, got some other things we're going to talk about. Bush was up at the Air Force Academy, and he said the war on terror is just like World War II. Is he right? I'm Bill Thorpe. This is KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Ron Kilgore. President Bush is on his way to Europe for the weekend ceremonies marking the 60th anniversary of D-Day. He'll also do a little political fence mending with the French president over the war in Iraq. In a surprise announcement, CIA Director George Tenet is leaving his job next month. NBC's Carl Rochelle at the White House says Tenet has bid an emotional farewell to his staff.
He said it was a personal decision and had only one basis in fact, quoting here, the well-being of my wonderful family, nothing more and nothing less.
Tenet's come under political fire on Capitol Hill for not knowing about the 9/11 plot ahead of time and intelligence lapses in the Iraq War. U.S. Coast Guard going high-tech to detect possible terror activity at Florida seaports. $8 million project, including a satellite, ship-tracking beacon receivers, and infrared cameras. OPEC's decision to increase daily output has had an immediate impact on the price of crude oil, dropping more than a dollar a barrel. I'm Ron Kilgore, NBC News Radio.
Get the good stuff. If you've got an engine with over 75,000 miles on it, here's something to think about. High-mileage engines often perform differently. With increased oil consumption, lower fuel efficiency, and more rapid oil breakdown, Valvoline MaxLife motor oil helps offset the aging of critical engine parts and seals. This is the good stuff. And right now, you can get Valvoline MaxLife motor oil for just $1.99 a quart. Price does not include state and local taxes and recycling fees.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Want a bonus this Saturday? Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday Bonus Sale with huge savings throughout the store. Save 20 to 60% store-wide. Plus, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. till 1. And the big bonus, save even more with bonus coupons. An extra $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, an extra $15 off $75 or more. Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday Bonus Sale.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale on June 5th.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 83 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A woman who allegedly drowned her children won't face the death penalty. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound Sheridan at Evans, watch for a minor accident. Also one downtown coming in from California Street between 15th and 16th Streets. Freeways right now, accident-free, stall-free, basically moving along at posted speed. That's the best news we can offer in quite some time from the traffic department. ONDCP with the information. If you suspect your teen is having a problem with marijuana or alcohol, take action. Talking to them is the first step. Early detection can save a life. Action, the anti-drug. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Prowers County District Attorney says he won't seek the death penalty for Rebecca Amaya, who's accused of drowning her two young children last October. DA Mike Davidson says several factors influenced his decision not to seek the death penalty for the Lamar woman, including input from the children's two fathers. This report brought to you by Tyson. The rising price of oil presents a challenge for our nation's airlines, namely that of containing costs and turning a profit. That was the subject this morning at a congressional hearing where six airline execs testified, among them Glenn Tilton, CEO of Denver's biggest carrier, United.
Unequivocally, the cost improvement has to be continuous and is going to be ongoing.
Tilton says he expects United to emerge from Chapter 11 bankruptcy sometime this year. Attorneys for the city of Denver are gearing up for a trial in the case of a hearing-impaired man who was shot and killed by DPD officers in 2002. 18-year-old Gregory Lee Smith was killed by Officer James Turney and his partner Robert Silvas after they were called to the scene by Smith's mother. Smith reportedly pulled a knife as he came up some stairs toward the two officers and refused to drop it after they told him to do so. The officers reportedly waited until he was just 5 feet away and then shot him. In sports, the Colorado Rockies are taking today off as they get ready to play host to the San Francisco Giants for four games starting tomorrow. Rocks took 2 of 3 from the San Diego Padres this week, though they lost yesterday afternoon's game 2-1 in 10 innings. Give your family a high-quality meal with Tyson. Tyson's hickory and fully cooked bacon are slow-smoked with natural hickory wood, so they taste great. Pick up some Tyson bacon tonight. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sell your car.
Phil, what is all this?
We're trying to beef up our advertising for the Mile High Suburban Buy. Decided to give these Gregorian monks a try.
What's the Mile High Suburban Buy?
It's the newest way to sell your car. It's all the rage.
I can hear that.
See, we offer sellers access to over 500,000 readers in 19 Suburban newspapers. You know, the ones you actually read.
Gotcha. How much are you charging?
$29.99.
They're really taking this seriously.
Yeah, we all are. There are a lot of ways to sell your car, and we want to be the best. We've put together a crack team of classified employees who'll help you craft your message and make your ad work for you. We're serious about helping real people in real communities sell their cars fast for less.
Sounds great. I've got a car I'd like to sell.
Just call Community Classifieds at 303-279-5541. That's 303-279-5541. Okay, he gets it.
Sorry.
Call Community Classifieds today, 303-279-5541.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Most of us will manage to stay dry through the afternoon, but we will get some scattered showers and thunderstorms. Topping out around 84 for a warm one today, 56 for the low tonight. Some isolated thunderstorms possible in the afternoon tomorrow as well with a high of 88. Some storms on Saturday, sunshine on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
83 degrees under mostly sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
6 minutes after one here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein today. Enid is in Chicago. She just landed about a little more than an hour ago. We spoke to her at the top of the program. And what she's doing out in Chicago is she's going to be at the American Book Expo, or is it Book Expo America? I don't know. They've got all sorts of fancy copyrighted names for it. It's all in capitals, and I don't know. But I think it's Book Expo America. She's out there, and that's where all the authors are meeting to talk about all the books that are coming up over the next 12 months and what's happening in the industry of writing. And some of you out there are going, yeah, that's boring. Well, remember this, though. That's the event in which Bill O'Reilly and Al Franken got into a screaming match last year. So something interesting always happens there. And Bill Clinton is the opening night speaker tonight. We got them out there, and I pulled some strings and got them special seats inside of that speech for tonight. So at least they told me they're supposed to have special seats. So I'm hoping that comes through, or I'm going to have a friend of mine to call and, you know, give him a what for. So, but he said that he would take care of that for me. So we got some really good guests that are coming up on Enid's program. She's going to be back tomorrow from noon until 3, and also a special Enid Live on Saturday, noon until 3. She's going to be talking to people like Stedman Graham, you know, Oprah's boyfriend. She's going to talk to Ridley Pearson. She's going to have Dave Barry on. She's got Bill Curtis. She has R.L. Stine, the noted kids author. She has Kathy Lee Gifford, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. We also have scheduled William F. Buckley. So that could be entertaining. And we're also working right now on Rondé and Tiki Barber, who are brothers that play in the NFL, and have written a brand new book called By My Brother's Side. And so we're going to try to sit down and have her talk to them, but they're really difficult, so we'll have to see what happens. So, now, what we're talking about today on the program is the fact that George Tenet, the head of the CIA, has resigned. There are a couple of other things we're going to get to as well on the plate, but I'm kind of curious about this and what you think. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. How long do you think it's going to be until George Tenet has a book out? Or do you think the phone calls were made right after the announcement this morning and he got calls and pitches from every single publisher out there? Now, again, a lot of people are going to say that this really doesn't mean anything. That, okay, good, glad he's gone, should have been gone a long time ago. That's what you're going to hear. And I disagree. I don't think that this is a, I don't think this is kind of a, well, we should have gotten rid of him type of a thing. I think that this close to the election, it's more or less creating a buffer between President George W. Bush and some of the failures of the war in Iraq, some of the failures as far as intelligence. This creates plausible deniability and creates a buffer. And they're going to lay everything on the feet of Tenet and say he was the problem, and now that we have removed him, the administration's just fine. I think that's how it's going to be fit together. I think that's the plan that Karl Rove has. And we talked to Andy Lightbody last hour, and he said that his sources are saying that Rumsfeld's fingerprints are all over this one, that this may have been one where, you know, we're not firing you, George, just can't come here to get any money anymore. So I want to know what you think. 303-382-1150. We're going to jump to Kevin. He's on a cell phone. We're going to talk about George Tenet. Kevin called us here at 303-382-1150, just like you can. Kevin, how are you doing?
Yeah, Kevin. I think George got canned because Bush wants to get some distance because the election's coming, and I also believe that it's the same situation with Chalabi. They knew Chalabi had misinformation, and they used him for a while.
Well, he had used him for a long time. In fact, people are always screaming, oh, liberal media, they always hurt the president. There was this little tiny story in our ramp up to the conflict in Iraq that didn't really get reported. When it first came out, it was all over the place. And what happened is, all of a sudden, out of, I forget which Middle Eastern country, there comes this person that had worked inside of Saddam Hussein's weapons factories. And he could tell us where they were, what they had done, how much of what they had. And this was the mover and shaker. This was the guy that we were going to talk to, and that we were going to say, this is the man that was going to tell us where all the little skeletons were hidden. And that's how we knew that Saddam had all the nasty bugs and is going to come and get us.
Right.
And what happened is a couple of weeks later, I think it was about a month later, just about the time that the war is rolling, all of a sudden the story comes out that when they did their due diligence and checked on who this guy was, he was the nephew-in-law of Chalabi. He was related to him and had never, ever worked in the weapons program. But he had come out, and he had all these wonderful things to say, and we covered it, and all the media covered it, and said, wow, this is the guy, this is who's going to do it for us. But he was a rat. I mean, he didn't have anything to do with it and didn't know anything at all. But he was used time and time again as being part of the case to go to war.
But none of that stuff matters as long as they help sell the war. That's it.
Exactly. So what do you think? Do you think there's going to be a book before or after the election? That's one big question I've got.
I would suspect before the election.
Yeah, I think that makes a smarter business decision because you know he can sell it before the election. If for some reason Kerry wins the election, then you got a book and got no audience. Can't sell it. I appreciate the phone call. You can give us a phone call at 303-382-1150. Talking about George Tenet resigning today, the director of the CIA. Does this mean anything at all? Do you think this makes an impact to the administration? I'm kind of the opinion this is a buffer for political reasons. that he was put out. I mean, he's the second longest serving CIA director. But I think this makes a lot of sense if you are a Republican. It makes a lot of sense to get him out now because then he is the scapegoat. He is the person you can point to at the reason our war on terror may not be going as well as we think it is. He also is the man that you can lay the blame for weapons of mass destruction. You can lay a lot of blame on Tenet, and of course, after you remove him from office, it's very easy to scapegoat, and then you can make all the song and dance about changing the administration, and I don't think anybody's going to ask the question, well, if he was such a rat, why didn't you get rid of him a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm going to jump. I see Jay in Lakewood right here. I'm going to jump to him real quick. Eric, Marty, hang on a second. We're going to talk to Jay for just a second. You're not really supposed to do this in talk radio because you're going to derail us a little bit. But I was at the DMV this morning. Don't know if you heard last hour. But I want to talk to Jay in Lakewood a little bit about the DMV. Jay, how are you doing?
I feel your pain.
Wasn't that horrible? I spent an hour and 45 minutes.
President once said.
Yeah.
But, your experience, as horrible as it was, is really kind of minor.
Really?
Oh, it's way worse than what you thought.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried.
I loaned a woman a car.
Yeah?
She went over in the afternoon.
Yeah.
2:30.
Uh-huh.
She was there all afternoon and never accomplished her task.
Oh, no.
They told her, well, we're closing now.
Jeez.
You know, too late.
Oh, no. And she'd been sitting there, I'm sure, for a couple of hours at least.
Well, it was really aggravating because I was deprived of a car all afternoon.
Yeah.
And she felt bad because she didn't get her license. And,
jeez.
You know, I told her, I said, well, you're just going to have to get up real early and be there at dawn.
Jeez.
And, you know, if you're really lucky, you might get it all done.
God, it was ridiculous. I mean, I sat there and I keep thinking, and I'm standing in line, looking around going, you know, we've got, like, night vision goggles, smart bombs, I've got a Palm Pilot, we put a man on the moon, and I'm standing in line trying to get a license, and this somehow is the best system we've arranged.
Don't you recall, though, that we closed some of the license offices?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, now. So the system, it wasn't good before.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Closing the offices, several of them. It just put a bigger load on the people that are left.
Yeah,
obviously the people that are left are thinking, why should I work my butt off?
Yeah. Well, as long as the lines are long, then you need more workers, so you can make this argument. And I think you got it right, Jay. A load was the right word. That's what I went through today. A load. Oh, my God. I stood in the line at the DMV for an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah, the people were pleasant and everything, but the stuff that I did took me 2 minutes answering the questions and everything else. All of the time, standing in line. Aggravating. Jay, I appreciate the phone call. We're going to go back to the phones and talk to Eric and Marty here in a sec. We're talking about George Tenet and the CIA and talking about what happened. Now, the sources that Andy Lightbody, our military analyst, has, says that this has Rumsfeld fingerprints all over it. Now, is this a move behind the scenes by Rumsfeld? And I'm looking at this, and the only reason it makes sense for Tenet to leave now is because of the political cycle. What do you think? 303-382-1150. We're going to jump to Eric in Denver and chat with him a little bit. Eric, thanks for calling KNRC. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. What do you think about Tenet resigning today?
I think all of this boils down to coddling Bush, as usual. And,
yeah.
I mean, I hate to sound condescending, but I think there's a lot of dupes out there that will believe that if you fire Tenet, then that solves all the gaping holes in Bush's administration and his plan for the war on terror. The truth is, I mean, this is documented fact that the Bush administration basically was told months before the war and even before his State of the Union address that the information in Iraq, including what Ambassador Wilson discovered and what others had corroborated, was that there really is no grounds for saying that they were trying to get uranium.
Yeah.
And that was told to him by intelligence, so we can assume, you know, Tenet was essentially, and Tenet pulled a reference to buying enriched uranium out of a speech, I think it was October of 2002.
That sounds right, yeah.
And so clearly the administration knew. The other thing the administration knew, right before the war, they kept just insinuating all these connections between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, and Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Once again, the intelligence community had been saying for years, there's no connection. They hate each other. they still pushed it to the point where, you know, 60% of Fox News viewers believed it because they're dupes. And it's this type of thing, and I'm saying that if they use Tenet as a fall guy, it's only because people let him.
Yeah,
this administration has known that much of what they're doing was false, and they were using it to mislead the people and get support for what they're trying to do.
See, I look at it as, yeah, they were couching their statements. I mean, Tenet himself admits that the uranium issue, that he was raising questions about that and said there were questions, and he has said many times that the administration was taking information they were giving him and taking the bad parts and not giving the idea of, well, we don't know if this is 100% true, we don't know, but it is a problem for me that Tenet told Woodward that, you know, basically it was a slam dunk, the case for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and you look at that and go, eek.
Well, yeah, but you got to define the WMDs he was talking about. He was talking about chemical and biological, not nuclear.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was more nuclear than anything that was the real big fear factor going in.
Oh, yeah.
That and, you know, retribution because of all these make-believe connections to 9/11 that didn't exist. And, and you know, if it did, the fact that they outed Wilson's CIA wife, which basically amounts to treason, and you can only imagine if Clinton had done something like that, they would be calling for his head to this day.
Oh, we have a special prosecutor
Bush
in a second.
Bush gets to walk. I mean, Bush gets to walk. He is coddled, and I'm sick of it, and he'll get coddled out of this, too, and they'll somehow manage to forget all the facts and all of his hand and everything.
Well, this is the weird thing that I keep looking at, Eric. And again, you know, I like to look at things from a different perspective and kind of sit down and go, okay, how does it make sense? And kind of keep almost the idea of putting things on a table and then turning the table 90 degrees and then turn another 90 degrees and see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this and I, okay, if Tenet, because I honestly believe that, you know, you're right, that what's going to happen is that Tenet will be fired and the administration comes out and says, see, we fixed the problem with the intelligence. This person, although he was a good soldier for us, didn't get everything right, and so now we've rectified the situation. Let's cross-apply that. It's not a good analogy, but let's cross-apply the issue of firing people to fix the situation with Colorado University. And I keep looking at that again, not saying they're analogous, but just the idea of firing to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
CU turned around and said, no, 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 we can fix the problem with all the people internally. And the strange thing is, and this is where I think it's fun, is the people that are on the side that say that the firing of Tenet is good and will fix things are probably going to be the same people that would have said, no, firing Gary Barnett or Dick Tharp can't fix a darn thing.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, so the idea...
People create the story that they want to believe. It's essentially what the Bush administration did with the intelligence. They wanted to go into Iraq. All the people who have written books basically said that was their main focus from day one. So they found intelligence, whether it existed or not, to fit that plan, that agenda.
Yeah. My argument with the war in Iraq right now is, okay, even if, okay, we can acknowledge that Saddam had some low-level terror connections. That's fine. And, you know, given what he was doing in the Middle East and given his history, okay. But I keep asking that if he is so integral to the war on terror, if he is the linchpin to the war on terror, if we would rank from 1 to 10 the top terrorist-supporting nations in the world, where does Saddam lie? He lies like at 8 or 9 or 10. That's
right.
Where he sits, because you have Pakistan, North Korea, you have Syria, you have Iran, you have Palestine. You have a lot of other, you know, places that you would put connections to terrorism on that list. And so if Saddam keeps laying, you know, further and further down that list, I keep looking at it going, let me think, we're spending $5 billion a month to go after a guy that's not even the top five in terrorism on the world, and yet we're saying that this is the linchpin in the war on terror. One, it can't be the linchpin in the war on terror, and two, what does this allow us to do next? We're stuck in Iraq. We can't go get the really bad guys now.
Right. Well, and if you take it a step further, the truth is the WMDs and war on terror, none of that was ever the real reason that they went into Iraq. Because it's just so full of holes to think that that's why we went into Iraq. And like you said, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan,
North Korea, Syria.
And the fact is, we supported Iraq. I mean, we basically supported them for a decade.
Oh, yeah.
And so where does that put us on the list?
Yeah, and the thing is that we got to remember that we were supporting Iraq while he was doing a lot of his killing.
Exactly.
While he was doing the mass graves, while he was putting people into meat grinders.
The Iranians, we turned a blind eye.
Yeah.
And then we come back later and say, isn't he a horrible man? Now we got to go take him out. Well, this is all just justification for other purposes. I mean, I really don't think we're there for WMDs or the war on terror.
Yeah,
it just doesn't pass the logic test.
It doesn't. And, Eric, I appreciate the phone call. The strange thing is yesterday, Mark Udall said a lot of the same things when he watched Bush speak out at the Air Force Academy. He had said that the administration, quote, and I'm quoting Lynn Bartles in today's Rocky Mountain News on page 25A, that so far this administration does not have a lot of answers. In fact, I think the questions from Americans multiply as the answers diminish. And he basically says it's taking the eye off of the real war on terror. And, quote, it's only in the last 2 or 3 months that Bush has talked about our justification for being there, meaning Iraq, as the remaking of the Middle East. He didn't do that until the fall or summer of 2002. He didn't do that in the winter or spring of 2000. He didn't do it. He did not do it in the fall or winter of 2002. Did not do it in the winter and spring of 2003. It was all weapons of mass destruction and terrorism. And now the rhetoric has changed, and it has changed. But if you go back to the project of a new American century, you go back to that, and it was the remaking of the Middle East. So maybe Eric's closer than some of you would like to admit that the idea that we went into Iraq over weapons of mass destruction and connections to terror was nothing more than a lot of window dressing. What do you think? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm short for my first break. I'm behind. I'm going to get to Marty. I'm going to get to Chuck. And I'm going to get to your call after this. 303-382-1150. George Tenet, the director of the CIA, has resigned. Is this much ado about nothing? Or is this political? Does this clean the house and allows Bush the scapegoat that the administration so desperately needs to answer some of the critical questions the American public has as we're ramping up for the election? Where are the weapons of mass destruction? What are we doing in Iraq? And why did we get it so wrong? The American public does have those questions. Is George Tenet firing the answer? I want to know what you think. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC. That sucking sound you hear is our competitors sucking local dollars right to San Antonio or Atlanta. That's why when you listen to them, there is clutter, interrupted by occasional programming. Not here. Not here. Out-of-town ownership took your talk radio away. Locally owned AM 1150 KNRC is here to give it back to you. More talk, less clutter. More talk, less clutter. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
What if the answer to all your shipping problems was right in front of you? With Click and Ship online shipping from the U.S. Postal Service, you can calculate rates, print labels, pay postage, even get free delivery confirmation service, all from your computer. Then just hand the package to your letter carrier. And to think, the answer was sitting on your desk the whole time. To learn more, go to USPS.com. Click and Ship online shipping, another simple way to ship. From the U.S. Postal Service.
Hello from Athens, Greece. Leave it to Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels to create the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. Go to choicehotels.com to learn how to enter, and you can win a trip to the big events in Athens. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Choice Hotels. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring 7-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron and Megan will talk about cycling news, equipment, and great local rides. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France like Ron Kiefel, or in Megan's case, just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for everyone, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. The markets are trading lower on Wall Street as we head toward the close for this Thursday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 27 points at 10,235, another narrowly traded day. The NASDAQ getting hit here late in the day, down 17 points now at 1971. In case you hadn't heard, OPEC announced earlier today they will boost production of oil in the world by 2 million barrels per day starting July 1st. Wall Street had expected a little more than that. Originally, that meant some disappointment. Oil prices went higher, but now they have been trading lower late in the day. Investors are anxiously awaiting the jobs report for May. That'll be due out tomorrow morning. If the report is as strong as expected in terms of job growth, Wall Street anticipates the Fed will likely raise rates at the end of the month, probably by about 0.25%. Intel's in the spotlight after the close. They provide their mid-quarter update. They're expected to trim their revenue forecast for the second quarter. The Dow's down 28 points right now. The NASDAQ down 18. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
It looks like a superhero would shave with this razor.
Check out what guys are saying about new M3 Power, the first micro-power shaving system from Gillette.
If Gillette came up with an idea to shave better, why wouldn't you go give it a try?
I don't even feel the blade touching my face.
It's micro-pulses raise hair so you shave closer.
I feel like I have the latest, greatest technology in my hand.
It is literally the best razor I've ever used.
Feel the power of the world's best shave. New M3 Power from Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's one of those things that I had to tell my buddies about. Like, hey, dude, you got to try this razor out.
Last year, Bill O'Reilly and Al Franken got into it. This year, Bill Clinton will be there. Hear exclusive coverage from the National Book Expo in Chicago as Enid Goldstein broadcasts live June 4th and 5th. Our hosts go to where the news is. AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
128 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe. Enid Goldstein is out in Chicago. Don't know if you just were listening to that commercial break. She's there for the American Book Expo. She's going to be broadcasting live from noon until 3 tomorrow and on Saturday. A special edition of Enid Live, noon until 3. We've got some great guests. Ambassador Joseph Wilson will be joining her. William F. Buckley will be joining her. Stedman Graham, Oprah's boyfriend, is going to hang out with Enid for a little while. R.L. Stine, the kids' author, Kathy Lee Gifford, and loads of other people are going to be chatting with Enid out there. And she's actually going to have a seat tonight to watch President Clinton speak. So she'll be talking about that tomorrow with you on Enid Live. But you've gotten me for the next hour and a half. I'm Bill Thorpe. 303-382-1150 is the phone number if you want to chat. We're talking about George Tenet. The head of the CIA resigns today. And I'm kind of looking at this. He's the second longest serving director of the CIA ever. I kind of think, why now? There have been a lot of other times that it would have made sense to let him go. If you're looking at 9/11 Commission, you're looking at weapons of mass destruction issues, if you really thought that he was doing a bad job and giving misinformation, there were lots of other times to do it. Why now? Why now is he gone? Well, I look at it, and for me, I might be a little cynical, but I think it's election cycle reasons. I think this allows the administration a scapegoat. I think this allows the administration a person to point to and say, he's the guy that got it all wrong. The fact that he is a former member of the Clinton administration also helps because they can throw rocks not in one direction, but two. They can get two birds with one stone. I'm wondering if you're seeing it the same way I am. 303-382-1150. We're going to jump to Chuck on a cell phone. He called us here on AM 1150 KNRC. Chuck, thanks for hanging through the break. How are you today?
Sure, sure, fine.
Good.
I'm going to use you as an example because you're as biased as I am, only in the other direction.
Sure, why not?
They let George Tenet go today.
Yep.
Is that going to convince you to vote for George Bush?
No.
If they let him go a year ago, would that have convinced you?
Probably not.
If they let him go 2 years ago, would that have convinced you?
Probably not.
Okay, so under no circumstances would the firing of George Bush convince you to firing of George Tenet, right? Sorry for this.
Yeah, no problem.
Convince you to vote for George Bush?
No, probably not.
Okay, this falls under, what's happening to George Tenet falls under the religious axiom that says, if you believe in something, no amount of evidence is necessary to support your belief. And if you don't, no amount of evidence supporting that belief is going to cause you to believe.
Yep.
You either believe or you don't. Those people who are going to vote for George Bush are going to vote for him because they believe in him, not because of the people he surrounds himself with. People voted for Ronald Reagan because they loved Ronald Reagan, not because he surrounded himself with great people. He did, but not because of that. People didn't vote for Jimmy Carter because it appeared that not because the great people he surrounded himself with, because he certainly did. It's because the guy came off as not an effective person. And I think the same thing is true. George Tenet going right now, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that the election is coming up. There are other people I would be getting rid of. If my real concern was I want to make people like me,
yeah,
and if I get rid of somebody, they're going to like me, I'd say Rumsfeld, I'd say Cheney, I'd say all of those people are out because those are the people that people are pointing fingers at and saying, these are the people who designed this war. If it's not going well, These are the people to blame. He's not getting rid of those people.
Now, I can see where you're going, Chuck, but there's a little bit more that, and well, let's expand on this a little bit, because remember, inside of elections, the majority of the population has decided at least 2 years ago who they were going to vote on. And so we literally are talking about a small minority that sits around the middle, and they go one way or another. I mean, traditionally, in this country, the elections are decided by that sliver that are undecided. And so what about those undecideds, the people, and there are that group in this country that don't really believe and don't really not believe. They're not unbelievers, but they're not believers. They're somewhere in between. And do you think that the firing of someone like George Tenet, if you turn around and say, well, we got rid of the guy that had the bad information or didn't give us all the right information, now we can do our job better. Does that influence those undecideds? Because that is where the election will be won and lost this year.
The reason why I don't agree with you on that is this. I'm going to mention one name, Dukakis. Dukakis was leading in the polls astronomically.
Yeah.
Right after the Democratic National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
A month later, they had the Republican National Convention, and you couldn't have seen a more precipitous drop if you dropped a penny off the Empire State Building. The guy fell completely in the polls. Why? Because they weren't convinced he was the guy. They were convinced that George Bush the First was the guy.
Yeah, but again, I think that helps out my argument, though, because it's about convincing that undecided people that wash one way or the other. The reason Dukakis stopped, though,
convince them of that, not the firing of Tenet. I mean, if you're really concerned, if George Bush is really concerned, if we're talking about a 1 or 2% shift in the polls getting him elected,
yeah.
If we're really concerned with that, I would see him firing Rumsfeld in either late September or early October.
Well, see, I don't think Rumsfeld is at large.
Firing Tenet.
But I look at Rumsfeld, I don't know if he's as much of an albatross. And behind the scenes, I wouldn't be surprised to see Cheney off the ticket before the election. I wouldn't be surprised at all, given information that I've got. I don't know who's going to replace him at all. I don't think but he's got their health issues. And I'm hearing a lot.
Issues, but he had health issues at the first one.
This is on another level of health issues. Yeah. This is heart issues that are on a completely different level. And I've got a lot of people that I trust, both on, you know, and many of them, strangely enough, conservatives that I'm hearing out of the Beltway that are saying this is not looking good. The Cheney's health is much worse than we're actually been led to believe. And if we're talking about the shift in voters, what I would look at, Chuck, and again, when you talked about the idea of do they believe in Bush and do they not believe in Bush and the idea that you had in the caucus, I think is absolutely correct, but I think that the firing of Tenet allows people then to believe in Bush, allows them to believe that he's a man of action because he identifies a problem and eliminates that problem. Two, that the weaknesses that he's had in the administration as far as the war on terror now can be corrected because you've moved Tenet out of the situation. If I'm playing the Republican side of the game, that's how I stack the cards, and I think that's a stronger message and can convince more voters than if you leave it with Tenet in right now, because then you have these questions about, well, why didn't he know? You have all the weapons of mass destruction connections. You can sever those by simply replacing Tenet. You can turn around and say, we've got a new guy in charge, new information, we're going to do better. You can then turn around and believe more in Bush.
But assuming, and I like to go after this, for a moment that somehow people are going to be convinced of that, which I don't think they are, but assuming they are,
mm-hmm.
If I'm George Tenet and I get bounced today,
yep.
My book comes out next month.
Yeah.
That's going to be a greater albatross around the neck of George Bush than Tenet could ever hope to be.
It could be, and that's the question that I've got, and I honestly believe it, is how soon does the book come out, Chuck? I mean, I honestly believe the book is in negotiations right now. I think that...
The point is, if you keep him on till after the election, then bounce him, he can write all the books he wants. He can't write a book while he's in office.
Yep, absolutely, and that's why I'm curious about this one. I think
people are not asking the right person. The right person to ask is George Tenet. Why are you leaving? If George Tenet says, I just don't feel, I don't want to serve anymore. I'm tired. I want to spend time with the classic stuff. I want to spend time with my kids and my family, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
but come on,
it could be. Look what happened to Hughes. Hughes was that great spokesperson that Bush had. She left. Now she's back.
Yeah, exactly. And I keep looking at it. And if the person, doesn't matter if you're, you know, conservative or liberal, if the person that is bounced from the administration comes out and says, well, it's for personal reasons, I think in this day and age, you look at it as someone falling on their sword. I mean, how many people leave that type of a job and say, well, I want to spend more time with the kids?
It doesn't happen that much.
I don't
have an Eagleton anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Who says I'm not falling in my story? He's throwing me out because I had a psych consult back when I was 11.
Oh, man. Oh, geez.
So, All right.
Hey, Chuck, thanks. Appreciate it. Chuck's an interesting thinker. I appreciate the phone call, Chuck. 303-382-1150. Man, I'm behind again, aren't I, Jordan? Man, I've got to go to traffic here and news and everything else. Jeff, I see you there, and Marty as well. So hang on a sec. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. But it's Bill Thorpe here filling in for Enid Goldstein. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. This is AM 1150 KNRC, and it's time to check news.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm the man that has told me time and time again that if I need him to, he will fall on his sword for me, and I often appreciate it. And just remember, I always will keep on the Christmas card list because of that. And that's Tim McLaughlin. Thank you very much for that, Tim. I appreciate it.
Just make sure the sword's nice and sharp.
Oh, yes, I will. That's, you know, because, you know, when it gets in only halfway, and you know, have to push yourself a little bit.
Brutal,
yeah, exactly. Can't let you go. I'll make sure it's quick and clean. Thanks, Tim. What's going on in news today?
Partly cloudy and 85 right now. The governor has signed legislation designed to help charter schools in the state. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 at Colorado Boulevard. There is a big vehicle stalled in the left lane, and they need a big tow truck to move him out of the way. So traffic is jammed all the way back to the Broadway Bridge, if not even farther north than that by now. That tow truck was due on the scene just a few minutes ago, so hopefully that'll get loosened up here pretty quick. Southbound I-25 at the 225 interchange reported a large piece of metal in traffic. And eastbound I-70 at the I-270 cutoff, supposed to be some wooden pallets blocking the traffic lanes as well. Highway 2 and 72nd Avenue, injury accident. In Commerce City, a lot of emergency equipment on the scene there. And the traffic lights are taking a longer time than normal to cycle through at 44th and Tennyson, so use some caution there. Verizon Wireless with the information. Now use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Governor Bill Owens has signed legislation designed to give a boost to charter schools in Colorado. One of the bills creates a state charter school institute that will require greater accountability for both charter schools and their authorizing districts. The other bill more clearly defines the process school districts must follow in authorizing charter schools. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Prowers County District Attorney Mike Davidson says he will not seek the death penalty for Rebecca Amaya, who was accused of the drowning deaths of her two children last October. She has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Law enforcement agencies in Jefferson County and Brighton are continuing their investigations into some instances of police impersonation. Police say if you're worried whether a car has an officer in it, it's legal to keep driving the speed limit to somewhere with better lighting and some other people around. You can call 911 to make sure the person who's trying to stop you is actually an officer. Is your car's check engine light on? Then get to AutoZone. They'll help you figure out the problem for free and tell you what you can do about it. Get in the zone, AutoZone. We'll check your KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
Why listen to Rush when you've got in it?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Partly cloudy skies, some scattered thunderstorms possible this afternoon. That'll pretty much continue through the evening hours. Mostly clear, though, after midnight. Mid-50s for tonight's temperature. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms, and an upper 80 high temperature for us. Partly cloudy and 85 now. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window and Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window and Door.
She's the Rush alternative.
Did you talk about something else?
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
But I find it somewhat curious that the resignation occurs in the midst of the controversy over Mr. Chalabi, who, as you know, has very strong support within the highest levels of the Bush administration.
He told me he was resigning for personal reasons. I told him I'm sorry he's leaving. He's done a superb job on behalf of the American people.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Ooh, all those comments made about George Tenet, who retires today. The song in the background is Sleep Now in the Fire, and is that what we are doing? Is that what we are doing here in America, is trying to basically sleep in the fire in the war on terror? Are we trying to find that modicum of freedom that was quoted by the House Armed Services Committee, said we're looking for that in Iraq? And does George Tenet know more than we actually think he does? Jim, who's in Colorado Springs, sent me an email saying that maybe he knew things about the attack going on this summer and wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. Maybe he knew a little bit more than we think. Or was he thrown under the bus by Rumsfeld? Did Rumsfeld want him out, or is this simply political? Is this political that this now creates a buffer from the administration and the accusations of they didn't know exactly what they were doing when they walked into Iraq because now they have a scapegoat? Or does Tenet just have a really good book and he needs to get it out before election season? Or am I just being Chicken Little and seeing the sky is falling? Let me know. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. 145, I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid's going to be back tomorrow. She's going to be broadcasting live from Book Expo America both Friday from noon until 3 and also Saturday noon to 3. So make sure you remember on Saturday to join Enid for a very special edition of Enid Live between noon and 3. We're going to jump to Jeff in Westminster to talk about the firing of George Tenet and see what he thinks here on AM 1150 KNRC. Jeff, thanks for giving us a call and holding on through the break. How are you today?
Hey. Pretty good, how are you? Good to have you back. Good to have you back. You know, I think that if all of the above, I don't think there's a book deal involved, but I think the administration wanted to purge George Tenet because obviously of what he knows. And I'm going to make a further prediction.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that he's going to purge Colin Powell before long, or at least right after the election or right before, and kind of lead the rise. I think they were strategically placed there by the administration to absorb some of the backlash over some ill-fated policy, and especially Colin Powell. I think that he's really going to catch it. I mean, he's kind of dipped stuff in the administration already.
Yeah, and see, and Powell recently, I forgot who the interviewer was that sat down with some friends of his and got a little bit of time with Powell, and basically Powell said that he is tired, which in a code word in Washington speak means I'm not making it the next 12 months. So after either it's right before or right after the election, I think you're right that Powell's out of the administration. I think Condi Rice stays, because I think she's there. I think she's, honestly, personally, I think she's brilliant. I don't always agree with her, but I think she's a very intelligent woman, and I think where she sits as far as the administration, how close she is to Bush, I think personally she stays. I think Cheney is out for health reasons, but I don't know if it's pre or post-election, but I think Powell is gone because the tensions between himself and Rumsfeld and Cheney and everything between the Pentagon and the State Department and where they were pulling, because, you know, the views of the State Department are drastically different than the views of the Pentagon as far as what we should be doing in the Middle East. And honestly, if you're, you know, if you're head of the State Department and, you know, the ambassador to Saudi Arabia gets the war plan before you do, I don't know. That, to me, would make me a little ticked. I would be a little upset if I was in the administration and they're showing the war plan to Saudi Arabia before I get to see it. And that's what happened in Powell's case.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I back to Lisa Rice. I think that they want eyes to look at her. I think that she's a deflect. It's a classic to the problem they had out there, and she had to do that Senate testimony.
Yep, that's true.
I think she's definitely a reflector, and I think that she's going to be, you know, strategically put in her position so she can take all the heat.
I think it's an interesting question. I think it's an interesting idea, Jeff. The reason I also think that Condoleezza Rice stays there is that there's an interesting thing about when you criticize Condi Rice. If you criticize what she has done, strangely enough, the first argument back is, well, you just don't like strong women. That's the first argument anytime you attack Condi Rice. So I think that she's almost a safety card, that she's used as that safety card to keep some of the deflection away from Bush. I think you're right, and that's why I think that she is so valuable for the administration and stays there. And I'm curious, 303-382-1150. Jeff, thanks for the phone call. We're going to jump to Marty here and Parker in a second and talk about George Tenet resigning today. Basically, did he jump or was he pushed? Andy Lightbody, we talked to him last hour, and he said the fingerprints of Rumsfeld are all over this, according to his sources inside the Beltway, that Rumsfeld said, you know, we're not firing you, but you can no longer come here to get money. That was kind of how it came down. So let's figure out what Marty and Parker thinks about this one. Marty, have you jumped on the line, fell off a couple of times? I wanted to make sure we got you in this segment. Yeah. How are you doing today?
Hi, how you doing, Bill?
Doing good. Hey, what's on your mind about Tenet and the firing of him, or the resigning of him today?
I think it's curious what his departing remarks were, that he is quitting to protect the well-being of his family.
Mm.
Plain and simple. That's what he said. Something like that. And basically, I think he was told that he's going to be the scapegoat and he's going to take the fall. He resisted, and so they threatened the well-being of his family.
Mm.
This is what happened with Wilson and his wife. They were going to show him and other people what happens when you mess with the White House. They go after your wife. They go after your family.
And I've got an issue with Novak about that whole thing with Wilson still. That still rubs me wrong. I mean, it still has knocked Novak way down.
Novak should be in prison with cuffs on awaiting trial for treason. He is absolutely a traitor. The government spends over $1 million just to train a CIA agent.
Yeah.
At least he owes us $1 million to pay for all the training that he destroyed, for all the lives that he put in jeopardy. But to me, this has Karl Rove written all over it. He's a vicious attack dog. And a man that will go after your enemies' families is about as low as you can go. I mean, this guy is 1 inch above the slime at the bottom of the ocean. And I just feel he was threatened and forced out. And on the book issue, go ahead and write a book. I mean, that's what they're saying to him. Go ahead and write a book and see what happens to your bank accounts, your credit, your daughter's entrance into college or whatever.
Yeah.
They found a way to get at this guy. And I would be surprised if he writes the book, because I think the only reason he would quit is if they either had something on him or they had threatened him. And this group, I think, is not above doing something like that, as we saw in the Wilson case.
Now, I might go the other way with you, because I think that, you know, going after the CIA director, I'd hope that he has enough, you know, skeletons and you know, that he knows where some of the bodies are buried, that hopefully he would have enough, you know, chips at the table that they couldn't necessarily harm his family per se. I would actually go the other way and say that I would almost think that if you're going to push him out, that I would push him out and then you hand him a golden parachute. And that's why he keeps quiet. Instead of the threat to the family, because I would think that Tennant would at least know enough, you know, where the bodies are buried, that he could counter and say, you go after my family, I'm going to release X. I'm going to release Y. I've got a copy of this file sitting here, and it'll go out if this happens. And I almost think that it would go the other way, that it's the idea of, okay, some of the stuff that, you know, that is going to happen or some of the things that we could do to you, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, aren't going to happen, but we're going to hand you this big pile of money, and you know that if you open your mouth, then the bad things can happen type of an idea. That's kind of where I think it's going.
Well, I think they're playing a dangerous chess game with one another.
Oh, yeah.
But basically, if somebody were to threaten my children and my wife or my mother in any way, I would do very little to risk their well-being. Whatever it is I'm doing, it's
yeah.
not more important than the welfare of my mother and wife and children.
Yeah. Hey, Marty, that's an interesting idea. I appreciate the phone call.
You betcha.
Thanks. Take care. 303-382-1150. I'm a little bit late for this break, so we're going to take it real quickly. Then I'll get to Jeff in Arvada here in a second. We're going to hopefully spend the last portion of the hour with Jeff, talk a little bit about the resignation of George Tennant today. See, it's tempting for me to say firing because I still look at this, and I know that's my own personal bias, and I'm trying to approach this, looking at this from all sides. But I look at this, and I just don't see why today. Why does it make sense in the political cycle? Why does it make sense as far as just the business cycle for him to be going during this time? Normally, people step aside before, after great issues of, you know, concern about what they're doing as far as a job. You normally don't leave the job 9 times out of 10, especially a job like this, just up in the middle and so close to election time. I still keep coming back. I think this creates a buffer for the Bush administration to say, this guy got it wrong, and so now we can get it right because we have Mr. X now involved, and whoever that Mr. X is going to be. Of course, the assistant director takes over for a while, but then you eventually have to name a new person. And so does that new person, then it's the broom that sweeps clean and then can create better ads and better talking points for when we get closer to the election. I think that's almost where it goes. And do you believe, as Andy Lightbody said earlier, that this wasn't necessarily a jump, that he was pushed and probably pushed by Rumsfeld? What are your opinions? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid will return tomorrow. She's going to be broadcasting live in Chicago from Book Expo America. She's going to be there from noon until 3 on Friday, and also a special edition of Enid Live on Saturday from noon until 3. Be sure to join her because we have Stedman Graham, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. We have, let's see, who else is going to be joining her? Bill Curtis will be there. Also, I don't know, Rhonda and Tiki Barber are supposed to. We're trying to work on Dr. Ruth Vestheimer, see if she's going to join her. There are all sorts of balls still up in the air, so it's going to be a surprise of guests that will happen tomorrow and on Saturday. And I'll be back to talk to you more after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
The most powerful diet pill in America, Zantrex 3. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Zantrex 3. Yes, at stores nationwide or log on to Zantrex3.com.
So, you want to get the kids to their music lessons on time, even though they are tone deaf. You need a quick dinner. Think fast. Think eggs. Like a microwave casserole with ham and cheese. Quick, easy, delicious. So you make the lessons on time, the kids start an urban grunge band, and now you are the mom of the hottest act in showbiz. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. For other quick dinner, lunch, and snack ideas, visit AEB.org.
Incredible edible egg.
The American Egg Board.
Hi, it's Don Rizzi, editor of Colorado Avid Golfer magazine. Do you love golf as much as I do? If so, join me and physical golf's Neil Walkadoff for On the Tee every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on 1150 KNRC. We'll talk about how to play, where to play, and what to play. We'll go inside the tour, across the state, and around the country, bringing in guests from the world of golf. And we'll take your calls, too, even give you a shot at winning something. So join our twosome every Saturday morning at 8 on the Tee at 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Tim Brown, CEO of NRC Broadcasting, inviting you to join me and AM 1150 KNRC for the inaugural U.S. Half Marathon Sunday, June 6th at Cherry Creek Reservoir. It's a benefit for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Registration is available online at www.rundenver.com. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of history. Please join me in running Mile High's first U.S. Half Marathon on Sunday, June 6th in the beautiful surroundings of Cherry Creek State Park. AM 1150 KNRC is proud to be a charter sponsor of the U.S. Half Marathon Denver. See you at Cherry Creek on Sunday the 6th.
1-800-848-9222.
beautiful day for a morning show, ladies and gentlemen. And they're on the air. It's early morning news and information, followed by traffic. On the outside, it's weather. Here comes clever conversation. Out of nowhere, it's quick wit and sarcasm. Back on the inside, it's caller, you're on the air. It's answer the question. It's more news headlines, and now a word from our sponsor.
Every morning, we make sure the odds are in your favor with Jimmy Lakey on AM 1150 KNIC. While Rush is telling you just what he thinks, Enid Goldstein will find out what you think. What you think. Hear the Rush Alternative. Weekdays at noon on AM 1150 KNIC. KNIC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues. On AM 1150 KNIC.
Oh, and the grinding guitars in the back signal the dope show from Marilyn Manson. And it's 1:57 in the afternoon. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. And is this what we are viewing today? A dope show? Are they basically trying to cloud the issues in the waters by having George Tenet resign today? George says it's for personal reasons. You know what that means now. Am I just being too cynical if the personal reasons now means that, you know, someone else wanted me out of here? How many of us are really leaving just so I can spend more time with our family? Do you think George has a wonderful retirement package? Do you think that he has enough money saved up that now he's just going to sit back and, you know, have margaritas in the afternoon and watch the kids play on the lawn? Is that what he's going to do? This is a man who had the second longest tenure as director of the CIA. Does it sound like he wants to quit work? Does it sound like he doesn't want to get up and go to the office every day? Is this just the dope show? I want to know what you think. 303-382-1150. I'm going to jump to Jeff in Arvada real quickly. Jeff, thanks for the call. How are you today?
Oh, loving time restrictions.
Oh, well, I'm trying. We got there. Here, go. What do you want to say about Tenet?
Initially, I was calling because you were freely using the word firing, but you have...
Yeah, I know. I know, because I'm
my
a
name
moron.
On the board and went, I'm using firing, huh?
Well, every time I said it, I went, you stupid idiot. Every single time, like, you moron, stop that.
No, I think it would have been brilliant politics to have fired him, and they didn't, so they can't use it as a weapon. The Bush administration can't say, hey, we dealt with it, because he quit. So it's not, it's really a moot point. It's just another of a long line of things that are going to be overhyped by the media. The CIA informant via Novak outing is going to be the next hype for a week or two. It's a nonstop, constant cycle going all the way into November. My call was, though, initially was about skepticism.
Yeah, what do you want to say about it?
I can tell you the things that I have issues with the Bush administration, especially specifically to this war.
Yeah.
One is to not be very clear about areas we didn't deal with, like the Sunni Triangle, like Fallujah, and knowing full well that we were going to take some casualties going into those areas, which we were going to have to do at some point in time.
Yeah,
festering.
You got about 30 seconds. What else? Yeah,
I have a problem with that they didn't make that clear, and then when it did happen, the left was able to use it as a, you know, this is turning into Vietnam, which is not what it did.
Yeah,
but the issue I have is that it seems that people, and I know this is your job when you're on the radio, that you do come from the left and that you're not exactly going to get on and hammer on your side, but I have an issue that people on the left don't seem to be able to say anything but bad about Bush.
Oh, I know. Unfortunately, Jeff, we've got to leave it there. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2
NBC
o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Ron Kilgore. CIA Director George Tenet is ending his 7-year tenure as top man at the nation's spy agency. In an emotional farewell to co-workers, Tenet acknowledged great strides in the fight against terrorism, many the public will never hear about.
In this fight against the clever, fanatical enemy around the world, the cells destroyed, the conspiracies defeated, the innocent lives saved, will for most Americans be forever unknown and uncounted.
Tenet says he's leaving his post next month to spend more time with his family. President Bush is on his way to Europe. Tomorrow he meets with the Pope, and he'll be spending some time with the French president in hopes of easing some political tensions over the war in Iraq. After 60 witnesses, the prosecution has rested in the penalty phase of the Terry Nichols Oklahoma City bombing state murder trial. The jury will eventually decide whether Nichols receives the death penalty or life in prison. I'm Ron Kilgore, NBC News Radio.
Have you got your Goodyears? Get to your participating Goodyear retailer now through June 5th while all Goodyear tires are on sale. You'll save big on every Goodyear brand tire in stock. Plus, buy 4 selected Goodyear tires and get up to a $60 rebate.
And while you're there, check out Goodyear's new Assurance brand of passenger tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. For low prices and up to a $60 rebate, keep your car in step. Get your Goodyears today. Mail-in offer ends June 5th.
Want a bonus this Saturday? Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday Bonus Sale with huge savings throughout the store. Save 20 to 60% store-wide. Plus, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. to 1. And the big bonus, save even more with bonus coupons. An extra $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, an extra $15 off $75 or more. Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday Bonus Sale.
It's all inside.
JCPenney.
Some exclusions apply. See shop for details. Sale on June 5th.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 86 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. It'll cost you more to go to see you. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25, still very, very heavy from Broadway on down through Colorado Boulevard. The reason is an earlier stall. Supposedly out of the way now, but traffic really hasn't loosened up in there in the last 10 or 15 minutes. So perhaps a little bit of residual slowing and quite a lot of volume, too, I imagine. Southbound I-25 at Yale, a report of an accident on one of the exit ramps in there. Everything else in the freeway system looks good. 44th and Tennyson, traffic lights aren't working properly. 17th and Champa downtown, it's a medical first aid situation. And West Metro fire crews still on the scene at 14th and Carr, trying to put out a bushfire, but apparently some of that fire got into one of the businesses there, so they'll be there another 35-40 minutes. Christ Collection with the information, it's their fifth annual sidewalk sale, Friday and Saturday at the Christ Denver Showroom, 201 Milwaukee Street. Call 303-329-8733 for more information. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Colorado Commission on Higher Education has approved a 6% increase in the tuition at the University of Colorado. That 6% increase will affect nearly 35,000 CSU students. Governor Owens rejected a tuition increase earlier this year, but approved the compromise after CU proved the increase would make CU's tuition in line with other state universities. This report brought to you by AutoZone. A number of airline executives testified at a congressional hearing this morning. Jeff Potter, CEO of Denver-based Frontier Airlines, says Denver International National Airport is configured for major carriers, which drives up costs for regionals such as his.
It's been our experience in Denver that regional jets often use expensive facilities that have been designed and constructed for full-size commercial aircraft, further adding to congestion at the airport.
The executive said the higher oil prices are making it a challenge to contain costs and turn a profit. The nearly 100 charter schools in Colorado got a boost today with legislation signed by Governor Bill Owens. In signing the bills, the governor said there are 20,000 students on waiting lists for charter schools. In sports, no game for the Colorado Rockies today. They'll be back in action tomorrow, starting a four-game homestand against the San Francisco Giants. Rocks lost 2-1 in 10 innings to the San Diego Padres yesterday, but they won the series 2-1. Now at AutoZone, get $5 off a case of Pennzoil motor oil and up to $10 in free gasoline after mail-in rebate. Hurry, deal ends June 5th. Details at AutoZone. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150. KNRC. KNRC.
Trust and experience are two very important factors when considering medical treatments to enhance your natural beauty. I'm Dr. Robert Tuckler of the Plastic Surgery Clinic and Denver Skin Aesthetics. I would like to extend my personal invitation to visit our clinic. We offer our patients the finest care when it comes to the delicate art of plastic surgery and the latest advancements in cosmetic facial injectables, including Botox, Restylane, and Radiance. We have just purchased the most advanced laser system available, the Cutera Zio. This laser offers many options, including removal of facial and leg veins, age spots, and a skin rejuvenation process which stimulates new collagen growth and diminishes the appearance of fine lines. Hair removal is also available. Our nurses and aestheticians will evaluate your skin while listening to your needs. All treatments are performed under a doctor's supervision, a service we feel is mandatory. We have some of the top doctors in the area and have been honored by 5280, Town & Country, and Vogue. Call us at 303-830-7200 and request a complimentary facial assessment.
Listeners receive 10% off their first filler and 20% off their first Botox treatment. Call 303-830-7200.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of clouds and sun, some widely scattered showers and thunderstorms are on tap as we head through what will be A warm afternoon. We'll top out around 84 for the high and then drop to about 56 for the overnight low tonight. We'll have a chance of isolated thunderstorms tomorrow and Saturday. Sunshine on Sunday with highs in the low 80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy in 86. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch until 9 o'clock tonight for pretty much all of eastern Colorado. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
So every time I hear the music that starts off Enid's show, I know where it comes from, and it's humorous. You got to go out there, watch some cartoons, do some things, and it gives a whole new meaning to the start of the show. But I'm not going to share that with you right now. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid's going to be back tomorrow. She's on from noon until 3 on Friday, and also a special edition of Enid Live on from noon until 3 on Saturday, because she's out in Chicago at the Book Expo America, and she's going to be interviewing a lot of noted authors, some really famous people, and some people that are just fantastic writers. So she's going to sit down with R.L. Stein, who has done those Kids Goosebumps books. They actually had a morning show on one of the networks on Saturday for a while that were based on his Goosebumps books. And so he's been very popular. He's got a new one coming out. She's also going to sit down with Ambassador Joseph Wilson, Kathy Lee Gifford, Stedman Graham, Bill Curtis. I'm trying to think who else is. Ah, yes, William F. Buckley will also be joining Enid in that. Oh, man, I keep saying I want to sell tickets to that one. That could be fun. So got to listen to the show to find out when those people will pop in, drop by, and sit down and chat with Enid. And there are lots more of people that are going to be sitting down and hopefully chatting with Enid while she's out there at the Book Expo America. Again, Friday, noon to 3, and also Saturday, noon to 3. So it's a special edition of Enid Live. Well, sorry we weren't able to finish the conversation with Jeff, but it was nice enough that he hung on, and he and I were able to talk off the air. I do this thing that I don't like holding people over breaks. I just don't like doing that. So Jeff and I, though, had a really good conversation off the air. Wish we could have shared it with you, and hopefully we will next time. But he had a really interesting point. And, you know, Jeff, I think, is a good thinker, and don't always agree with him, and sometimes he thinks I'm full of crap, too, and that's okay, but I do like him. And one of the things that he had said was that he's getting tired of the left side of the aisle. Every time something comes out that's bad with Bush, they act hysterically and go, oh, it's the end of the administration, oh, my God, this guy's falling, and run around, and, oh, this is it, he's going to be impeached, and he's absolutely right. I'm getting tired of that crap, too, that every single time, you know, we had the pictures in Abu Ghraib. Oh, he's going to be impeached. Oh, this is the end of the administration. No, yes, this is a horrible black mark on America, not necessarily the administration, but on the whole country, people. You should understand that it eroded the entire country's moral authority on this issue. But no, it became politics. And a lot of this is politics. But and unfortunately, and the fun thing was, is that when Jeff and I were talking, it was exactly, we talked about how bad it was, the hysterical nature of a lot of people when Clinton was in office, that every time something new would come out with him, oh, he slept with another turn. Oh, this is the end of the administration. Oh, this woman he slept with had an abortion. Oh, it's the end of the administration. Oh, it was nice to just see that both sides can be equally hysterical. So what do you think about George Tenet resigning today? 303-382-1150. He's the CIA director, or former CIA director. He's going to stay in power until July. But he's out of office. He's announced today that he's going to spend more time with his family. Now, any of you that watch sports at all, you know that the spend more time with my family is nothing more than a phrase that really means they were going to fire my ass, and I needed to just not have me being fired. I was just going to resign because there were issues, and maybe they gave me some money, maybe there were some other things in my contract. So we know that the spending more time with my family, 90% of the time, is crap. It's just like the dreaded vote of confidence. So the only thing that could have been worse for George Tenet would have been if Bush came out and gave him that dreaded vote of confidence. So we talked to Andy Lightbody in the 12 o'clock hour, and he said that his sources are saying that there are Rumsfeld's fingerprints all over this inside of Washington, that this wasn't an issue of George Tenet jumping, that he was pushed. That he was pushed out and was pushed out of the administration. Now, I look at this, and it makes sense for me to have him resign or be pushed out of the administration right now. And it makes sense only, the only way that I can make sense out of it is politically. That I think that this creates a buffer for Bush when we get closer to election time. That this creates that buffer of, hey, I made the change. And just as Jeff pointed out last hour, that firing Tenet would have been much stronger. And I do absolutely agree. Firing him would have been that proactive change, you know, the president is always looking for. But he didn't do that. So he allowed Tenet to resign, but still there is that change. So every time you have discussions now and say, well, he screwed up the information as far as weapons of mass destruction, the administration can turn around and go, well, Tenet did that. well, he screwed up how involved Iraq was with terrorism. No, Tenet did that. Well, he screwed up information that we had about 9/11. No, Tenet did that. I think this creates a convenient scapegoat. I don't know if Tenet thinks that he's being scapegoated, but he may have known that he was going to be one way or another, and that's why he resigned. I want to know what you think about it. 303-382-1150. We're going to get to Van in Boulder here in a second. He's got a theory about George Tenet. Van, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm having a great day.
Are you? Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I had a really good lunch hour. It's dynamite day.
Hey, fantastic. That's always good to hear that someone's out there having a good day. George Tenet may not be having that good of a day because he resigned today. What's your take on that? What's your take on Tenet's resignation today?
Well, I think what we may be looking at is a gathering, political perfect storm.
Uh-huh.
And I think what folks are trying to do right now is position themselves so that when the storm, hits, they've got a chance of surviving.
Oh, in what way?
Well, I think we've got four major things that are going to come down in the next 45, 60 days.
Okay, what things are those?
Well, Bush just lawyered up on the plame investigation.
Yep, sure did.
That involves the CIA and Tenet to a certain degree, considering he's the one that got the ball moving back in, August, September.
Yep.
So I think that's one thing. We've got the turnover of power in Iraq on June 30th, and, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens the first 2 weeks right after that.
It's oh, yeah.
It's just so telling.
It will.
I think that's interesting. I think the raids on Shalaby and trying to find Shalaby's files on all of the administration folks is also part of it.
Yeah.
Because right now, from my understanding, and you can talk to Andy Lightbody, is that Shalaby has a lot of dirt on a lot of different people in the Defense Department, in the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, too. He knows a lot of skeletons.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on. So I'd say that, that's the third major thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we've got the 9/11 Commission report coming out. So we've got four just monumentally huge things. We're going to find out if the grand jury is going to return any indictments. We're going to find out whether or not, the president's going to be embroiled in a major scandal with this claim investigation.
Yeah.
We're going to find, and they all involve Tenet. And I can totally see that Rumsfeld, in order, and like you said, he's a survivor, would get involved in trying to get Tenet out the door so that, he can be scapegoated.
Yeah, I think it just makes sense. I mean, every time you look at it, it doesn't make any sense for Tenet to go now. I mean, if you're going to fire him, you do it, after you do some, 9/11 investigation work, you do some things earlier. You don't do it now. And I just keep looking at it.
But the thing is that they need to scapegoat him on all four.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So you get rid of him before any of it comes out, and then you hope your spinmeisters can, pin it all on him.
Yeah, and I think they will. I think they'll do an admirable job of it.
The thing is that, I actually disagree with you in one thing far as this the black mark. I think that at this part, Abu Ghraib is a black mark on the Bush administration and this conflict and this war. I think when it becomes a black mark that sticks to America, is if we reelect Bush. If we reelect Bush with everything that's gone down, then there's an identity that's established between America and Bush's administration policies. And I think that's that's to me one of the most dangerous things in this fall election, is that we have a chance to, I think we've got a generation problem with the war on terror right now.
Yeah.
I think if Bush is reelected, we could end up with a multi-generational problem.
Yeah, I think I can see where you're going with that one. And I do think that, unfortunately, I think Abu Ghraib is a larger mark as far as the U.S. just because it ruins our ability to broker peace. And I think you're absolutely right that if Bush is reelected, I think the problems are compounded because basically U.S. validates what he was doing. The U.S., I think, internationally, the U.S. people will view it and say, well, the U.S. people saw that he was doing this and then reelected him, and they will, that's where they'll, pitch their tent. I do think that, as a whole, though, that every time now when the U.S., even if it's Kerry in charge or anybody else, and they say, okay, America's going to be a broker for peace, I still think that, we've eroded a lot of our moral authority that people are definitely going to look at us and go, but these were the guys that preached this and then did that.
And Kerry's already done it. When Kerry is elected president, you know, when he stands up and he says, you know, we are going to abide by the Geneva Conventions because that's the type of people we are.
Yeah.
Because I think Abu Ghraib can be, you know, directly traced back to the fact that the Geneva Conventions were abandoned as a broad and policy that's always enforced. And I think, you know, the reaction of the JAG attorneys, to rolling it back, I think the reaction to a lot of the military folks, McCain, Kerry, a lot of the people, you know, I mean, everybody kind of had a funky feeling about it, but we were so pissed that, torture them. Who cares? Yeah. But you know what? I think I'm more civilized than that.
That's kind of what I looked at.
America is more civilized than that.
Yeah, that when that whole thing with Abu Ghraib came out, I always, you know, I heard a lot of people saying that, you know, well, Saddam did this, Saddam did that, and I kept thinking, aren't we trying to achieve a little bit better than Saddam? I mean, if he's the bar that we're trying to achieve over, we're crap. I mean, to say that that is our level of we just have to be a little bit better than Saddam, it's like, come on, don't we want to aim a little bit higher than that?
And even tying into that beyond that, Bill, is the idea that, you know, I'm in sales. So one of the things you have to do is set realistic expectations.
Yeah.
And then if you meet those expectations, you know, folks are happy. And we have an expectation and an idea of ourselves as Americans. And Abu Ghraib just does not mesh with that expectation. And people need to understand that that's why it's such big news. Our expectation for the terrorists are they are barbaric and they are going to behead people like Pearl and Berg. And it's good. That sort of stuff is going to happen. It doesn't break our expectations. It doesn't surprise us at all.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not as big a story. And people need to get over this idea that the reason that folks are so upset about Abu Ghraib is because they want Bush to fall down. The reason we're upset is because we're Americans, and that is not what we are. And to throw the Geneva Convention under the bus. It's just out of control.
Oh, it really was. And it does look like there was, you know, at least in some quarters, there was, you know, systemic information that came down and that said
when it
abandoned the conventions.
When it's happening on three different continents, Bill, it's systematic.
Oh, yeah. It's not just people getting these wild ideas
just saw a monster rattler.
Uh-oh. How big?
I'm going to go back check it out. See ya.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. Take care. Uh-oh. Rattlesnakes in Colorado. Yes, I've had those dealings myself. So maybe Van will go back there and, you know, I worked on a farm for a while and they just get shovels and try to chop their heads off. Is that what they're doing today with some of the bad feelings in the Bush administration? They're trying to chop the head off of the rattler that might just bite them coming up in this election. Is that what Tenet did? Is Tenet basically the sacrificial lamb in order to create, I keep saying this, a political buffer between what has gone wrong in the administration over the last couple of years and what has gone right? Can Tenet just be the scapegoat? Is that what he ends up being? And is it like Jeff had said last hour, the idea that firing would have been much stronger, but what does it do to the fact that he just left? Does he then end up being the political scapegoat over the next few years and the next few months when we're looking at the ramp up to the election? Now, before we step aside, one of the interesting things that I had heard, talking to my in-laws, they're actually spent the last week over in Europe, and they've been traveling around for about a month right now, and spoke with them this morning, and they had an interesting series of travels, both through Italy and through England, and the things that they found that were so shocking was the broad distrust of America. Now, this wasn't the broad distrust of America that was basically expounded inside of TV reports or inside of newspapers or in editorial pages. The weird thing was, this was the broad distrust of America in the subways, on the streets, in the coffee houses. They're in England, they find a Starbucks. Find it there in Europe and from Seattle, they Starbucks. They found a Starbucks. The people there in the coffee shop, many of them talking about the U.S., talking about George Bush. They get on a train in Italy, and they have certain passage tickets. There's like first, second, and third class type tickets in the train. They get on the train, they get on a little bit late, and so they end up in third class rather than the first class tickets that they have. So they're on the train, and they're writing, and what are they getting? They get a whole bunch of stuff talking about Bush and America. Talking about Bush and America and how they don't trust us anymore. And these Italians, okay, they're not exactly the best soldiers in the world, but, you know, they kind of latched onto the Axis powers in World War II, but they're an interesting ally, and it's an interesting flavor that they've been basically tasting all across Europe, that there is this distrust of America for the first time. And they were there a couple of years ago, strangely enough, post-September 11th, and everywhere they went, they were embraced as Americans. And now, being an American isn't necessarily always the key to the happy smile and the friendly handshake that it was before over in Europe. And that's strange. I think it's an interesting change in the dynamic and what has happened. And many of the people over there talking about how the strange thing is the Bush is a cowboy. The things that many times that we like. Many times that we in this country think, okay, he's the guy that will do what we want, and especially on the right side of the aisle. The idea that Bush is a cowboy is what you want, and that's the opinion that you want of him, and you want him to be more cowboy-esque, to ride in wearing that Stetson and telling everybody you're going to clean up this town and nobody's going to tell you otherwise. That's worrying a lot of the people in Europe because they're not so certain that Bush really knows what the problem is. And it was weird to hear the people that are really the rough blue-collar workers, the people that are on the bottom of the barrel, even inside of Italy, when they were sitting in the third-class passenger cabin, they're hearing the people talk badly about the U.S., about Bush. They're hearing people again in the second-class cabin. They walk up and they spend some time in there and do some things, and they hear some of the same conversations. They hear some of the same conversations in the first-class cabin. So it's spreading across demographics. Again, this is not necessarily scientific research, but it's an interesting anecdote. It's interesting, because I talked to them this morning for a little while, and what they were seeing over there, and saying that their experience post-September 11th, when they walked around and everybody said, oh, you're Americans, hi, and they wanted to talk to them. Now, when you're sitting at the table, and it's not, oh, you're Americans, it's, oh, you're Americans. And the first conversation is, what is our president doing? What is Bush doing? Why is he thinking X? Why is he thinking Y? What is he doing with the rest of the world? It's rather interesting. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid is going to return tomorrow. She's going to be broadcasting live from noon until 3 in Chicago from the American Book Expo. Also, she'll be doing the same broadcast. Well, not the same broadcast. She'll be broadcasting again on Saturday from noon until 3. So a special edition of Enid Live. Make sure you're tuned in and listen to her. We're going to be back right after this and take your phone calls. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe. This is AIM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine that this music was a picture created by an ordinary printer. Now imagine it was created by an Epson printer. Well, over time you'd see even more differences. Because only Epson's DuraBright inks resist damage from water, smudging, and sunlight. So long after others fade, ours would still rock on.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
The 2004 Chautauqua Summer Concert Series is here. Spend a memorable summer night in the historic setting of Chautauqua Auditorium in Boulder and hear great artists from around the world and across the musical spectrum. On Saturday, June 5th, David Wilcox returns to Chautauqua. For the complete lineup and tickets, visit Chautauqua.com. The 2004 Chautauqua Summer Series is brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. So wrong on so many different levels. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Scott Cohn, CNBC Business Radio. A down day on Wall Street as investors waited for tomorrow's jobs report. And today's financial forecast from Intel. The Dow dropped 67 points, closing at 10,196. The NASDAQ off 29 points to 1960. Intel, the world's number one computer chip maker, has just released its mid-quarter update, which often gives clues to the tech sector's strength. It is a strong report above Wall Street estimates, raising the company's own expectations. The stock is up after hours. The other focus today was on OPEC, which lifted oil output by 2 million barrels per day at the bottom end of expectations. Oil prices dropped on the news, but industry analysts warned not to expect cheaper gasoline anytime soon. In economic news, retail sales rose in May, and American workers were more productive in the first quarter of the year than previously thought. First-time claims for unemployment benefits dropped last week, but the number of people out of work for a while was up. Once again, the Dow down 67, the NASDAQ down 28. Scott Cohn, CNBC Business Radio.
Whoa. And here's the kitchen with all new appliances and radiant heat floors.
Oh, honey, I've always wanted a home like this.
I can't believe it's in our price range.
Whoa, price range? I thought that was just a starting point.
Now working with a Century 21 agent. Century 21 agents pledge to help you locate the right property at the right price. Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 service pledge to help reduce the stress of buying real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
We are the Denver radio station that will make some sense out of this crazy world.
Blah, 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 blah.
Our hosts are standing up for you.
Thank you.
AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
I hope the President, President Bush, will take advantage of the opportunity to redirect the CIA and the intelligence community in some ways that will improve their operations.
This is the most difficult decision I've ever had to make. And while Washington and the media will put many different faces on the decision, it was a personal decision and had only one basis in fact: the well-being of my wonderful family. Nothing more and nothing less.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Interesting. You know, that well-being of your family comment, does that just mean that it's that traditional, well, I'm taking time off to be with the kids? And if you watch sports, you know you're never taking time off to be with the kids. You're getting your butt fired. Somebody in administration wanted you out. Somebody in charge of the team wanted you out, so you decide to fall on your sword. Is that what Tennant is doing? Is this a political move, or does this make sense? Does he want to do this just personally? Strangely enough, Ray McGovern right now, he's worked as a CIA analyst for 27 years, and before the invasion in Iraq, he co-authored the article Cooking Intelligence for War. He said, quote, that the Senate was just about to come out with a report that basically would talk about Tennant's tenure in the CIA, and that he believes, Mr. McGovern, who was an analyst with the CIA for 27 years, that Tennant is being served up as the, quote, sacrificial lamb. And the irony that he says is that he did everything he could to help the administration in their drive for war with Iraq. So there is some poetic justice here. Clearly, the problem wasn't really an intelligence failure, because a decision to go to war was made on another level. So that could be interesting. Do you agree with Mr. McGovern, who spent 27 years working as a CIA analyst, or do you think that this is much ado about nothing? The Tenet just wants to, you know, watch his kids play in the front yard a little bit more and make lemonade and spend time mowing the lawn. So let me know. What do you think? 303-382-1150. We're going to jump to Doug in Louisville real quickly and chat with him. He called us on KNRC. Doug, how are you doing today?
I'm just fine. How are you, Bill?
Doing good. What's on your mind about Tennant and everything else, the war on terror?
A while back, and the reason why I called, you were talking about your in-laws that are in Europe right now.
Yeah, yep.
And I deal a lot with different countries and stuff in my business. And one of the things that I thought of right after 9/11 and how we should react, I took the thought of, you know, America being a superpower. We're not unlike a parent and a child.
Yep.
You know, and when we were attacked, the child was angry. and he lashed out and he hit us.
Yeah.
And our reaction could have been one of, you know, a controlled response, or it could be, let's just crush him. You know, you hit me, I'm going to crush you. And I think Bush took the stance of, let's just crush him. And, you know, I think everyone agrees going into Afghanistan was a great idea. I certainly wasn't for Iraq, but, you know, we're there now. And that's mainly what I wanted to say, that I think, you know, we had the world on our side at one time. Now we're against it. And people who think we're fighting terrorists right now, we're, you know, I think Enid's one, and she constantly says, we're just creating recruiting posters for it. And certainly we are. So, yeah, I guess that's my points that I wanted to make. As far as Tenet being let go at this particular time, I definitely feel it's political. And, and you know, they're going to use it for all they're worth. But hopefully people will start questioning and going a little bit deeper than what this administration just says on the surface.
Yeah, I hope that happens. And the strange thing is, when you're talking about terrorism and the war on terrorism, the idea that the only way to stop them is to go out and crush them, which I think you're right, that's what the Bush administration decided, is that, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to crush them. And the issue that I've got is, how do you crush them? How do you get a hold of them? And,
you know, it's like grabbing sand.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the more you squeeze, the less you have.
Yeah, that's exactly
and that's exactly what we're doing. We're squeezing as hard as we can. And more of them are around, so you know it's pretty intriguing. I actually do want to compliment you. I've listened to you, especially when you were on the other show.
Yeah.
And it's nice that you swing both ways. I mean, you think through the process, and you may support one thing, and then you know when you hear about it, you might change. But I really appreciate that from the talk show.
Oh, thanks. I try. Basically, I come from the attitude. I'd spent a lot of time working at talk radio, and everybody there that was on talk radio, a lot of people I worked with, came out and said, well, I know the answer.
Right.
I sat there and went, damn, I don't know the answer.
I don't even know none of us do. You know, I think, you know, we just have to go with what we feel. And I certainly think it's interesting right now, this country, and I asked a pastor of mine once, what's up with the Christian right? You know, they don't seem very Christian to me.
Yep.
And his point, he came back and it was very insightful. He goes, you know, basically right now we have two extreme sides yelling at each other and the middle is lost.
That's true.
And I think that's what's going on. And people like us, because I'm throwing you in the same group as me and me and your group, that want to analyze and judge the situations, there's really no one approaching us. You know, the extremes are being yelled at and yelling, and those in the middle are trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point, Doug, is that I'm just, you know, that I kind of sit here and try to figure it out and figure where things sit, and I try to look at things from all different angles, and I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Doug, for taking time out of calling. It was a nice compliment. You kind of made my day. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to go to the next call, and I'm sure he's going to tell me that I'm a moron, so, you know, probably ruined my day already. But, Doug, thanks for the phone call. If you want to get Doug's line, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm going to jump to Ron on a cell phone. Ron, how are you doing today?
Hey, not too bad. Just wanted to make a comment about traveling overseas, especially Europe, and they start getting on this anti-American kick or apologize. You know what I've told them ever since when I first went over there was a GI, and I've been over there several times. I'm Italian. I've been over to Italy several times back. And I just tell them, hey, I'm on vacation. I don't just care to discuss politics with you. If you got a problem, take it with somebody else. Don't take it with me. Like when I was a soldier over there, hey, I've been assigned here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on it. If you guys got a problem, I mean, that's your problem. It's amazing how they shut up.
Yeah, that is interesting. And the weird thing that with my in-laws, what they did is they've actually said that, you know, they go in and they've been concerned because they've been just, you know, sitting in cars and they'll hear the conversation, not even getting involved with people and saying, hi, we're Americans, and people don't approach them because, strangely enough, my father-in-law looks very European. He's got darker skin, has some Hispanic people in his family, and so he has a darker skin, darker hair, and so he looks almost like he could be from Spain just because of, you know, how he's built, what he looks like. He looks like he could easily be, you know, someone from Spain. And so they normally don't think that he's American when he first says things. In fact, he got stopped post September 11th in the Paris airport and was held there for like 3 hours because they didn't think he was American. They thought he was a terrorist trying to get in, and he went through the whole searches and everything else, and they held him up. And so he sits in the cars and he gets to be this almost fly on the wall many times with these discussions. And he said what was weird is sitting in the subways and sitting in the trains, that he's observing these conversations, and these aren't people that are saying, oh, there's the American, let me tell him how much I hate hate Bush and how much I hate America. These were casual conversations, and that's what struck him, because he's used to that, Ron, that you talk about, the people approaching him and saying, hey, you, this, this, and this happened. But the fact that he was observing it as a third party, that these conversations were still going on, really struck him. And he was really kind of flabbergasted by it, going, man, this isn't just that they want to come at me and tell me, ah, stupid American, that these people are actually pissed.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is when I go over there, I try not to stick out like a sore thumb. There's so many American tourists and Americans who go over there like, I'm an American and my excrement, my excrement doesn't have a foul load and I'm here to do it.
Exactly.
And it rubs a lot of people there the wrong way.
Absolutely. Hey, Ron, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. I do have to tell the program listener out there that actually was kind enough to fax in a driver's license renewal by mail for me. Thank you very much for pointing out that I am a moron yet again. Yes, I feel like a doofus, because if you listen to the beginning of the program, I spent an hour and 45 minutes in a bunch of stinking lines today at the DMV trying to get my license renewed, and the entire information they took from me was about 2 minutes. I spent all my time sitting in a stupid line. And it was nice enough that someone actually sent through the fax that I can do this next time by mail. Problem is, I think I have to renew my license in about 10 years, so I'm going to forget this by the time that I have to renew it again. Damn, sometime I'm such a moron. I tell you, some people's kids. It's 2:37 here on AM 1150 KNRC, 303-382-1150. We're going to get to Dwayne and Steve and Mary here in just a second. But right now on the Ed Goldstein Show, it's time for news.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, and a man who is used to people talking about him behind his back and discussing him and his lifestyle and his abilities inside of subway stations and in the malls and in the libraries, none other than Tim McLaughlin.
They're always talking about me.
They are. They're sitting there going, oh, Tim, I can't believe it.
And they say I'm paranoid.
Exactly, too. Yeah, it's like, don't listen to the voices in my head, but some of them have pretty good ideas. Okay, what's going on in the news today, Tim?
Yeah, it's mostly cloudy and 84 right now. Tuition costs are on the rise at CU. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Still have a lot of slowing. Southbound I-25 approaching Colorado Boulevard after an earlier stall. We're told that vehicle is out of the way, so it'll be a few more minutes before everything loosens up. Also, emergency equipment heading to the ramp from westbound I-70 to Colorado Boulevard to try to take care of a rollover accident there. A lot of emergency equipment, as we say. Everything else around town moving along in pretty good shape. Just starting to see the first hint of the volume slowing that we will see a little bit later on this afternoon during the rush hour. Albertsons with the information. Save at Albertsons 10 for $10. Sale, assorted pork loin chops, Anderson Farms family pack chicken, 10 pounds for $10 and more, all this week at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
If the Board of Regents approves, the cost of tuition at the University of Colorado will go up 6%. The Colorado Commission on Higher Education today approved the increase as part of a compromise proposal. The Regents are expected to approve the increase, and that means it'll go into effect July 1st. This report brought to you by the Stanley Cup Finals on ABC. PFC Lindy England, one of the soldiers accused in the Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal, has hired Richard Hernandez and several other Colorado attorneys to represent her during her court-martial hearing. England's attorneys are attempting to move the court-martial to Fort Carson from Fort Bragg, where England is currently stationed. England recently fired another Colorado attorney, Giorgio Rashad, after discovering that Rashad was involved in his own legal troubles. Police say it was 43-year-old Kevin Wakehouse, whose body was found floating in Cherry Creek Reservoir on Tuesday. An autopsy revealed the cause of death was drowning, but investigators don't know how Wakehouse ended up in the reservoir. Police are asking anyone with information about Wakehouse to contact them immediately. Watch Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight on ABC at 6. The Calgary Flames face off against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals on ABC at 6. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
Recognized by the Radio Television News Directors Association and the Colorado Broadcasters. Award-winning news and Denver's most entertaining talk. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms, some of which may be severe with possible tornadoes, large hail, and damaging winds. In fact, the National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch until 9 tonight for most of eastern Colorado, 22 counties in all, including Arapahoe, Adams, Denver, and Weld counties. Tonight, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms, clearing after midnight, low into the mid-50s for the overnight low. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, maybe some isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, and a high temperature in the upper 80s. Mostly cloudy and 84. For now, KNRC News Time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock, or 3 o'clock rather, or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Irvin,
and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it,
just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs, and will meet yours too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Have a financial question? Email us, Integra@knrcradio.com, and Willis Ashby will respond. Integra@knrcradio.com. Listen to Willis Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55, exclusively with Doug Kellett on AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:43 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Just over 15 minutes left with you this afternoon, and then Doug Killip takes over. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. We're talking about the retiring of George Tenet today. He resigned, the head of the CIA. My question is this really political? Did he jump or was he pushed? Andy Lightbody joined us in the 12 o'clock hour and said that the sources that he has inside of the Beltway are saying they've got Rumsfeld's fingerprints all over this one. And I'm kind of thinking, does this create a buffer for the administration? Does Tenet end up being scapegoated? And in fact, that's what Ray McGovern, he worked as CIA analyst for 27 years, is saying, that this basically creates a wonderful scapegoat for the administration walking into election season. Of course, Jeff called earlier and he had said, you know, it would make a heck of a lot more sense if we would have fired him. Then we could really look at the idea of Bush playing this up politically as change. And I agree with that. But the idea that he resigns and then they supplant him with somebody else, they put somebody else in his place, I think then gives the opinion or gives the illusion of, hey, we've changed this. Whatever went wrong in the previous couple of years, we've now changed this. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm going to jump to Dwayne on a cell phone real quickly. He called KNRC. Dwayne, how you doing today?
Hey, young William Thorpe.
How you doing?
The intelligent, articulate voice from the left who can more than hold his own in a rational debate and never call anyone names. I thank God for you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dwayne. It's so kind of you. How are you doing today?
I appreciate it, man. It is so rare to get, you know, your kind of thinking and speech from the left.
Oh, well, thanks. I try.
And I appreciate when I hear it. You know, I'm kind of surprised when somebody, the form that was faxed to you in this day of identity theft and heightened security concerns, I'm surprised that you don't have to appear in person to do that.
I was surprised, too, and I walked in, and the weird thing was I didn't know that they have to. They ask you for if you're getting your license for the first time, they want another picture ID. Obviously, you don't have a driver's license, but they want a picture ID. They want a Social Security card, and strangely enough, the hospital birth certificate isn't necessarily good enough for ID. There was a kid in front of me who was getting his, and he had his birth certificate, and they said, no, you can't use this.
Yeah, I know in the past those have been far too easy to acquire. I think they've tightened up on those, but I was just surprised to hear they'd do that. I didn't think they would.
I was too. I did too. I was like, geez, man.
You know, I necessarily agree that firing tenant outright would have been the best option. I think it's probably a little bit easier to get rid of him in a non-confrontational mode than be that aggressive about it. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I personally would be very surprised if this was completely voluntarily from tenants. Yeah. I mean, it certainly, you know, doesn't seem to fit his pattern. But to me, the biggest thing is when you look at George Bush's inner circle of advisors, when you look at all those new American people, I think Tennant was the one that he liked the least and probably wanted around the least. And I think Iraq has become so problematic for him that they had to pin it on somebody.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because now, you know, we get into the election cycle. We get closer and closer, and Bush can trot out anything that the Democratic side of the aisle says about failures in Iraq, failures in intelligence, failures of weapons of mass destruction can all be countered with, well, the guy who is responsible is no longer with us.
Yeah, and I think that's the tactic here.
Yeah.
It's going to pretty much blame any mistake that's occurred in Iraq from day one to now on all bad information that was received, and this was primarily the source of the bad information, and we've eliminated that, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. But I would find it very hard to believe that this was a voluntary resignation.
It just doesn't make any sense for us to be voluntary at this point. Now, the question I've got for you, Dwayne, is how soon until the book comes out? Do you think it's pre-election? Do you think it's post-election?
It depends if he's already been working on it.
I know, that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, my guess would be it would be pre-election. They may try to rush something in, but you have to keep in mind, you know, he can say all sorts of things, but in his position, he's got to really be careful with sensitive information and things like that. So I think he, you know, he might be able to reference things or allude to a lot of things, but it would probably be difficult for him to come out and give really hard specifics. He may not be inclined to do that, though. Who knows? You know, maybe he got a golden parachute. And he's
that's what I'm thinking. I think they kind of said, you know, here, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You're going to resign. We're going to give you this.
Yeah.
This is how the game is played.
Yeah, he's just going to ride off into the sunset.
Yeah,
and go
exactly.
Or whatever.
Oh, man. Well, maybe that's what we need to do, Dwayne. We need to get a high-powered government office for a couple of years and then have some skeletons about people and then, you know, resign to spend more time with our family.
Absolutely.
That's a deal.
Yeah.
You and me both.
Great hearing you again, Bill.
Hey, thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
hey, take care.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. We're going to keep going to the phones and go to Steve on a cell phone. Thanks for calling KNRC, Steve. How are you doing today?
Good, Bill. How you doing today?
Doing good. What's on your mind about George Tenet and firing and just the whole things we've been talking about?
Well, you know what? I don't know at this point. I think Tenet may have gone because he obviously is getting closer and closer to the crosshairs right now. And you know, he may not really want to deal with it. He may have also been gone as well. I mean, if you listen to O'Reilly, who you guys have on every morning. He said for a long time that, you know, after 9/11 and no weapons of mass destruction, the tenant should have been fired a long time ago. And that's probably a pretty valid point. One of the issues that I was going to bring up, though, is I heard you talking earlier about the Europeans.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, just anecdotally, not a, you know, scientific research, but just anecdotal story. Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing I look at, though. Why do we care? I mean, you can look back at what the Europeans were saying about us and 1946, after we just liberated them, complaining that we weren't doing things they wanted, we weren't doing things fast enough, you know, the rebuilding of their infrastructure and the services that we were trying to provide weren't being done well enough and quick enough. You know what? I frankly don't care what the Europeans think at this point. If they don't want to like us, then don't like us. You know, if you look back to the 80s when Ronald Reagan was trying to put nuclear missiles in Europe, and they were protesting. You know what? I don't remember them in 1989 saying, hey, thanks. You know, you guys just lifted that 30-second DEFCON 6 warning from over our heads. I mean, they're just a bunch of fickle people, and I think that there's a perception amongst many Europeans that the old world powers that they held, they still do, and I think, you know, they don't. I think it bothers them that we're the big bully on the block now.
I think you're right that it bothers them that we're the big bully on the block, and I think it also bothers them because as a whole, America is, unfortunately, we're very short-sighted, and we also don't understand history. We don't look back very well, and we don't look forward very well, is that Europe always thinks, I mean, I talked about it a little bit. I was doing Enid's show on Monday, and I talked about it a little bit, that the idea that America looks, but we do not see, and we listen, but we do not hear, and that's how the international community views us, that we may have the best of intentions, but how we implement them are moronic, that they look at us as basically, you know, a kid that has a brand new toy and doesn't know how to use it properly, that we're out there swinging the baseball bat around in the yard, not really understanding how to play the game.
But you know what, Bill? I don't think history supports that. I mean, pick any 200-year history in Europe and compare it to our 200 years. The two major world wars that we've been in, we were in saving them from themselves.
Yeah, but we didn't jump in on the best of our intentions. We waited. We waited until it was an issue for us. We didn't come there and try to help Europe out. We waited until it was really an issue for us in many cases.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. But, of course, if you look back at pre-World War II, Roosevelt knew, some say as many as 2 years before we got into World War II, that we were going to have to get in at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But we were, at that point, we were a country that was dominated by isolationists who did not want to have anything to do. That it was a European war. We had nothing to do with it. People didn't want us to get involved. I just think that the Europeans, frankly, I don't care what they think. Their history, regardless of what they want to say about us or against us, you know what? I'll tell you, I'll stack our 200 years against any of their 200 years, and we'll see who comes out on top.
Well, the weird thing is, and that's what they're looking at, Stephen. I think that's where the Europeans look at it, is they sit there and they say, you've got 200 years. We've got 5, 6, 7, 800 years that we've done, that we've got a longer stretch in understanding things. The weird thing is, and one of the things the French were really upset about, is that basically Chirac has had a longer running conversation with Iraq and with Saddam than Bush had ever had. I mean, and so the idea that they cut him out, he was sitting there going, you know, I could have been, you know, he could have massaged the issue a little bit more, that he was a good in to Saddam. Sure, I mean, the French were dirty based on the fact they were dealing with him and doing things they shouldn't have inside of steel and weapons and oil and a whole bunch of other stuff, but at least Chirac would have had his ear. Chirac could have gone inside and could have at least twisted Saddam's ear a little bit, and I think that's where the French are looking at it, the idea that we stand in the middle of the front yard, swing around the baseball bat and say, we're the biggest guy on the block, come and take me on, when the Europeans look at this and say, you know what, pounding these guys, we've tried it for a number of years, isn't really working. I mean, they looked at it in Europe.
Okay, and that would be a fair argument, except for the fact that we had 12 years with Iraq. Where was Chirac during those 12 years? If Chirac wanted to step up to the plate and use his connections with Iraq and Saddam Hussein to get things resolved, why didn't he do it? I mean, the fact is he didn't do it. If that's what they wanted, then so be it, do it. But you know what? If they're, because I understand your point, and I think that you're nailing it on the head, exactly what they feel. If they think that what we did in Iraq was short-sighted or us jumping out into the front yard with a bat, you know what? I'm going to say 12 years that doesn't match up. We waited 12 years. We did everything in our power with the international community to try and get Iraq to comply with the resolutions that were passed, to get Iraq to come clean. Iraq did not come clean. I don't think that 12 years is a rush.
Well, Steve, and I look at it, I don't think we were rushing for 12 years, though, unfortunately. I think that, Steve, what we were doing is for 12 years we were playing a game. We played kind of a three-card Monty game for 12 years. And if we were pushing for 12 years to have everything done inside of Iraq as far as weapons and as far as searches and everything else, then I think we had an argument. But I don't think that's what we were doing. I think, unfortunately, that we were treading water for 12 years, and then we all of a sudden decided to make it an issue. And it was an issue for us that we had to resolve inside of literally 24 months. And so I think that's what the world looked at, is they looked at it and saying, we were treading water for 12 years, and again, changes in administration do come changes in policy, but then all of a sudden it jumps up and says, oh, now this is the major thing that we have to look at. You know, I'm way behind on the break. Steve, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. We're going to try to get to Mary and Hal and the rest of your calls before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, 303-382-1150. We're back right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
If it weren't for George Bush and John Kerry, Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant, what would we have to talk about?
Fucking just get you into trouble.
Don't worry, we're on it. Hear the who does what next on Denver's AM 1150, KNRC.
Give your family a high-quality meal with Tyson. Tyson's hickory and fully cooked bacon are slow-smoked with natural hickory wood, so they taste great. Pick up some Tyson bacon tonight.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project.
Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window & Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window & Door.
The Larimer Arts Association presents the second annual La Piazza dell'Arte. June 19th and 20th. The award-winning festival follows 16th century street painting traditions and features more than 200 artists who will spend hours on their hands and knees transforming asphalt into pastel masterpieces of brilliant color and design. Enjoy spectacular artwork, Italian food, beverages, and entertainment. Admission is free. For more information, call 303-685-8143 or visit LarimerArts.org.
It's not a boxer or a linebacker.
Come on, push it, push it.
It's someone more potentially devastating.
Remember what they did to you last time.
It's the spring storm, and he's staying in shape for the season.
That station announced your arrival almost 36 hours before you even got there.
Defend against him with our weather coverage when bad weather approaches.
You're going to let them get away with that this time.
Denver listens. Denver listens.
Good job, dude. All right, let's work on our hail the size of golf balls drill. Come on.
Denver tunes to AM 1150. KNIC. Are you tired of the jabber about pop culture and nothing that really affects you? Tune in afternoons to Doug Kellett beginning at 3. Doug Kellett beginning at 3. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein today at 2:58 here on AM 1150 KNRC. We're talking about George Tenet resigning. Enid's going to be back tomorrow. Noon until 3 on Friday, Enid Live coming to you from Chicago at the Book Expo America, and a special edition of Enid Live on Saturday between noon and 3. We're going to jump to the phones and try to squeeze in everybody before the top of the hour. Next up in line is Mary in Denver. Mary called KNRC. Thanks a lot, Mary. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. What's on your mind about Tenet and everything else? Oh, thanks.
I have the answer.
Ooh, good.
He needs the time because he needs to renew his driver's license.
Oh, God. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, we arrogant Americans, I don't know when we're going to come down off our high horse.
I don't think we ever will.
Why can't we be a great nation among great nations? Why do we have to be the best?
That is worrisome to me, and that's one of the things I look at.
I wouldn't like to have a friend who was like that.
Yeah.
I would like a friend who says, you know what, I'm a good person and so are you.
Not, yeah.
I'm better than you. I'm better than you. I'm better than you.
Yep. The one thing that I keep looking at is the idea, if we are the sole superpower, if we're supposed to say the sole superpower, what is it that we're willing to do in order to stay that superpower? And I think that becomes a very dangerous question. Mary, thanks for the phone call. I want to squeeze in Hal real quickly before the top of the hour. Hal, we got a couple of seconds here. What's on your mind? I hate doing this to you.
This is just a sub-point to the general topic here, but we weren't really ready to go into Europe in 1943.
That's right.
We were late. It's true. But we had to wait until we actually organized and actually could pull off the landing. And that's why we went in 44 instead of 43.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, Hal, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving us a call. That's it for me. Enid Goldstein will return tomorrow live from Chicago at the Book Expo America. Thanks for listening. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chip Reed. George Tenet has resigned as head of the CIA, citing personal reasons. In a farewell address to the spy agency, Tenet said CIA workers wake up every day with one purpose, to protect America. Tenet is the second longest serving CIA director. The White House says Tenet is not being pushed out. NBC's Carl Rochelle is at the White House.
Despite all of that, there was a great deal of criticism surrounding him. Criticism for not knowing about the 9-1-1 attacks before they happened. Criticism over the weapons of mass destruction issue in Iraq.
Before heading off to Europe for D-Day anniversary ceremonies, President Bush praised Tenet for his service to the country. The winner of the National Spelling Bee is 14-year-old David Tidmarsh of South Bend, Indiana. The word he managed to spell is autochthonous. It means indigenous, native, or aboriginal. U.S. stocks fell today. Investors are worried about a key jobs report due tomorrow. The Dow was off 67. The Nasdaq lost 28. I'm Chip Reed, NBC News Radio.
Have you got your Goodyears? Get to your participating Goodyear retailer now through June 5th while all Goodyear tires are on sale. You'll save big on every Goodyear brand tire in stock. Plus, buy four selected Goodyear tires and get up to a $60 rebate. And while you're there, check out Goodyear's new